gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends! Welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast for New Comic Book Day. As soon as my notes are around here, I lost them in my screen. Ah, there we are. I'm already off the rails, and it's just starting
October 11th, 2017.
And this is issue 76.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of your hosts, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody.
Who happens to be trying to channel the boss tonight.
Yeah,
I am. You are definitely rocking the Bruce Springsteen look right now.
I'm just rocking it. I'm feeling free.
The t-shirt, the bandana, the earrings. I mean, you just...
Plus, I had to match for, Superman, because, everybody knows he's back in the trailer this week.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll get to everything in a minute. We have a whole lot
Guys,
of stuff that happened this past weekend.
Get ready for us to talk about Comic-Con, because there's so much stuff coming out of there.
And DC was definitely at New York Comic-Con.
Friday was the perfect kickoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, it started on Thursday with panels, and we had news coming out of there. But the big one, the big one was Friday night, Jeff John's Doomsday Clock panel.
Because I was texting, I was cooking, and I just put my phone on and hooked up to the speaker since I was going to be in the kitchen. I couldn't really watch anything. I just was listening to it like radio. And then
you weren't able to see the images.
No, when something big happened, I'm holding my hands like this with like food on it, just like, oh, this is happening. And at the very end, he was like, well, we get to see the guy that's been talking the whole time was...
Yes. Well, we'll get to that, and we will not hold back the spoilers.
No.
They
spoiled it, so of course we're going to have to talk
about
it.
Exactly. Now, we're not sure... We have four titles, big titles, that we're going to do reviews on this week. But I'm hoping we have time to get to it.
Yeah, we have one honorable mention, just really hit on what happened at the end of that for Justice League of America.
So, with that and... Hal Jordan of the Green Lantern Corps is once again still playing with metal.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff, but we're not going to be able to do too much pre-show stuff, or we need to get right into this.
Yeah, we do.
And we're going to get into some TV news. Now, most of this is stuff that came out before New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
The Constantine stuff isn't, though.
Constantine we talked about, we knew, but there was a big update on what Constantine Matt Ryan will be doing.
But we're starting off in the Gotham universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they finally confirmed, someone's finally saying that Jerome is not actually the Joker.
We talked about that last year, didn't we? We were like, is he or is he not? We don't really know.
It looks like they're trying to make him Joker.
Right, but it's like, but Joker wasn't even involved anywhere at this age. So it's confirmed he's basically a nod to the character of the Joker. They just want to show love to that character and by putting Jerome in here. Besides that, he is not the guy we know as a.k.a. Jack White.
Yeah. Well, the information for this is coming from comicbook.com. Co-executive producer of Gotham, Brian Winbrandt, was actually talking in an interview with comicbook.com, and he said, according to him, he says, obviously Jerome is our homage. He's obviously not the Joker himself, although he clearly seems to be the impetus that eventually creates the Joker. The more that we see him, the more he carves out his own path, I'd say. I wouldn't say he becomes more the Joker, but the Jerome character continues to evolve.
So I got that because it's like you got to try and put a puzzle together. What I got from there was he'll be like the Joker, but he won't be our Joker that we know. So from that, I guess take it as you want. But for right now, we will have somebody similar to Joker. And I guess also with that, we're going to have somebody similar to Harley Quinn.
Yes. Well, we do have another quote here. I'm trying to find exactly where this quote came from. This one, it all feels a bit strange. The roughly sees the Joker... This is from the same executive producer out of the same interview. This is from Brian. And it says, this is a show about origin. Last year, we paid homage to one of our favorite Batman stories, The Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely stuff within the canon that we as a room are more willing to be nimble with and more willing to go a different direction with that than the canon.
Which is funny.
Yes.
Because I was going to say, technically, the Killing Joke wasn't canon either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, the original Killing Joke was part of the Batman canon.
Was it? Did they change it then?
The results of it was Oracle. We wouldn't have had Oracle if the Killing Joke wasn't part of the normal canon.
But from what I've heard, people are saying, oh, it wasn't actually canon, but you can take it as canon. No. Okay.
That one was actually part of the Batman story.
Okay.
He finishes up here by saying, for instance, the Penguin-Enigma love story. When it comes to Joker, he's so iconic to that Batman character that it feels like we don't want to get to the Joker ever. Jerome feels like he is that origin of that. Or is the origin of that.
Have you noticed how a lot of DC shows do that? They kind of did that also with Smallville. He's Superman. Of course, we know he's going to be Superman. We're not going to show Superman here. We're going to make him like Joker, but he's not Joker.
Well, the next story we have comes out of Legends of Tomorrow, which actually, as of time of recording, premieres tomorrow night. Because all the DC TV shows on the CW premiere this week.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl is actually showing tonight while we're doing this.
Yeah. So, guys, guess what? Remember how all the fans were upset when Constantine got canceled and we were disappointed by that?
And then he shows up here, then he shows up there, then he shows up everywhere.
Yeah, so he
can't. Matt Ryan is still Constantine, whether or not he's got his own show.
Exactly. He even voices Constantine now on the Seed show that will be coming up. Oh, by the way, that is going to be 5 to 6 episodes, and they're going to be 10 minutes long each. So you're looking about an hour of material.
Yeah, we did have some information at Comic-Con about the John Constantine CW Seed show.
So it will be longer than Vixen. But also, there's some more news that's been going all around the internet today. Constantine will be in Legends of Tomorrow Season 3, which will be coming up. Is it tomorrow? Or
it premieres tomorrow on Tuesday night.
Yeah, because today's Monday. I'm still thinking it's Sunday.
Because they moved it so that Flash and Legends are on the
same night. So
they did it, halfway through the season last year?
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense because of the whole time-traveling thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, he will be in Legends of Tomorrow, but we don't know how big of a role he's going to play. We don't know if he'll be in there for the whole season or pop up in one episode. But they did say the reason why they're putting him in the show is because of the magic. And Ken mentioned this to me today. I wasn't thinking about it.
You had forgotten about it, yeah.
Damian Dark's back, and Damian Dark works with magic, and both of them appeared on the Arrow.
Yeah.
So who knows, they might have some history. They did have history, because remember Constantine said, that's a guy you don't want to mess with.
Exactly. Remember, Constantine was on Arrow to fight Damian Dark with Ollie.
So he's back once again. We're not for sure, but this is our guess, and from what happened last season, he's probably there to take on the magic likings of Damian Dark.
Exactly. So, and then next up there's so much. Some of these we're just going to touch and go on.
Yeah.
We actually had some casting news from the Black Lightning series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're still filming they're going ahead and actually filming the series now.
Yes.
So this is going to be a character that's after the premiere. Because the premiere, all the trailers, remember, everything
we right, that was all done. That's the pilot.
That's all that was. Now, this is, in the Black Lightning series, we've got some hints of what's going on and what's happening. But we now know that Grammy Award-winning singer Jill Scott, which, do you know Jill Scott?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was a fan of her, but I used to listen to her back in the day. I haven't checked out anything.
Okay, because she was an artist I've not heard of, but
she's got a great voice.
Okay. Well, she's been cast as Lady Eve,
now,
who will serve as the liaison between Tobias Whale and a secret group of leaders, which is a departure from the character's origin, where she was a ranking member of the Cobra cult.
Right, and in the comics, she was a servant of terrorist organization Cobra. Eve fought Halo and the rest of the Outsiders and Strike Force while she was in Cobra. She also goes by Lady Ninja.
Okay.
Lady Naja. So that's just a little brief history on her. I never heard of her. I don't really remember seeing her. I remember Cobra, but I don't remember this character specifically.
Okay.
She looks familiar, but then again, it's like she was in the Cobra cult. She could look like anybody wearing a snake head.
Well, we do have Salim Akil, one of the showrunners of the show, with his wife, Mara Brock Akil, spoke recently in an interview about Scott and the role of Lady Eve. He says that Jill is an amazing artist who can embody any character and give them an authentic voice that is both nuanced and richly complex. I'm excited to see her in the role of Lady Eve. So
I'm excited to see her. I didn't think there was going to get a Grammy Award. Have you noticed they're getting a lot of musicians, too, actually, for the show?
This show's got a lot of musicians.
Yeah.
So
there's going to be a lot of soul in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then next one we had a little...
Next one, I know you're all excited about this one. We're going into the world of Supergirl.
And we're going to one of my favorite characters, Martian Manhunter. Now, Martian Manhunter, everybody knows, was revealed in season one, and me at least, I got hyped over this. But we never really got to see his exact origin story. We knew what happened. but we didn't know how he came about. Well, I guess in season three, we'll get a little bit of a bigger in-depth light on this. The article really just goes over what happened last season with him and Megan, how they got a little bit closer with the White Martians. He's opened up. He spent 300 years on Earth, as now we know, but what happened prior to that? He said people are afraid of him, and they also had to hide himself in plain sight, and that's the irony of it, becoming reconnected with his father, and his father thinks, oh my God, you've gone to Earth, man. So for John, this is a realization that he's not quite an alien as he thought he was. This means that he will be reconnecting to the other Martian, his Martian heritage, and important to him. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper. Now, from saying this, I'm like, is his father still alive, or are they just going to do flashbacks?
I don't know.
Is Megan going to help him connect with somebody? We don't know yet, but they are going to dive more into his origin story in season three. And I think they can kind of now go on their own thing. Even if there's some stuff from the books we don't know about, they can kind of just add certain things.
The way this reads, it looks like, yes, his father is going to be on the show.
Okay. Well,
because remember, in the DC TV universe and in the DC universe, mm-hmm. the Martians are still on Mars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of them were slaughtered. A lot of them became captive. A lot of them...
There's not
rebels.
Many green Martians left.
No, but they are still there. And also, since we have now good white Martians, they might even be able to connect them back. Or we might see another new white Martian character.
It's possible. So, but that's what we had for our TV roundup for this week.
Yeah, it wasn't too much on TV, but we have a lot of other stuff.
Gotham is getting interesting. Now, you've not got a chance to see last week's Gotham.
No,
I
did not.
I can't say too much.
Don't spoil it for me.
The return of Carmine Falcone.
Hmm.
And we do meet his daughter, Simone Falcone. So,
I was
going
to say, have you read Batman Year One?
No.
Have you read Long Halloween?
No.
they've always teased, even in the animated movie, there's some type of connection in video games. There's some type of connection between Selina and Carmine Falcone for years. There's a little thing going around. People were speculating as Batman and Bane were brothers. There's a speculation. Carmine Falcone was the father of Catwoman.
No, that's not where they're going with this one.
Okay, I was wondering, is that what they're
playing
on?
No, that's not
his
daughter.
Okay.
And actually, the actress who plays his daughter was actually an actress that comes from the MTV's Teen Wolf.
Mm.
It was one of the characters from there.
Do you remember which one it was? Watching it, too.
It was the Archer.
His girlfriend. I forget her name completely, but the Archer.
We watched the first, I think,
I watched first
four,
three seasons I
we
did.
We watched the first four seasons.
Okay,
think,
got one more than
off.
I did. Yeah, I fell off after season three.
I think I'm on number six now.
They're still making it? I thought they.
I
really thought it got canceled.
Now,
I really did.
I think they're on their final season.
Oh, man. Okay.
Well, that's where we got on TV so far. But moving on to cinematic news and movie news. And then we got two stories, and then we're going to play you guys the audio from the Justice League trailer.
And we'll give you our thoughts on it.
And we'll talk about that up a little bit.
This is part of the Justice League right here. This is Batman being more humanized, and as we saw in the trailer, we'll get into more of that later, but Batman took more of a, not comic relief role, but he made you snicker at some points.
Yeah.
He shows that
he's almost more of the Batman we're seeing in Rebirth right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we said that last year, didn't we, from the trailer stuff. So I don't think this was just everything dealing with Joss Whedon. This was also some stuff that Zack Snyder, I think, did too. For Batman.
Well, they do have a couple of quotes here from Ben Affleck. He was talking to Geek Magazine, and he mentioned how things would look differently as he decides to team up with other members of the Justice League in order to combat the threat of the film's villain, Steppenwolf.
Yes.
Well, he says Justice League is a big change tonally because you now have the personalities of all these different characters coming together. It gives you a chance to infuse a lot of humor into the scenes. And then he also went on to say, Affleck mentions how this dynamic or how the dynamic between them will be featured in the movie. Then he had this to say. He said, for Bruce, he's having to open up and play well with others because he knows he needs them. So while he doesn't lose sight of how serious the threat is, he's humanized by the Flash's earnestness. Diana's warmth, even Aquaman's needling.
And that sounds about right from what we saw from the trailer, too.
And the whole thing, Aquaman, it looks like he's the guy that's going to be poking in the ribs saying, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Literally, when they said Aquaman is acting like your drunk uncle, he's acting like your drunk uncle in this movie. I guess from there we can kind of... Do you want to just go into the
what was
trailer
the story
from that?
Is the next story something?
I would say if it's not exactly connected, we can come back to that one. Oh. Oh, this is how Gordon.
Yeah, this is about Gordon. You want to go hit that?
Yeah, there was an interview.
Yeah, this is that interview you just watched.
Yeah, we just watched this one.
You watched the interview so that you could talk about it.
So J.K. Simmons, who was playing Commissioner Gordon, he was in an interview with, who was he in the interview with? RCN TV. Now, this is a website or a news channel out of London, and this is where he shot his one scene. He was only in one scene of the Justice League. He wasn't in too many. And it looks a little bit like London. We always said that about Gotham. It has a lot of different cities in there. London's one of the big parts of it. He was also saying in here he still hasn't met Joss Whedon. He worked really close with Ben Affleck and Zack Snyder. And the only scene he ever shot was with Zack Snyder. Now, he came in for a little bit of the reshoots, but he still never met Joss Whedon. Also, he was saying they took a bit of a lighter tone to the movie, too, dealing with Ben Affleck. So that is definitely confirmed, even from him. And he said there is a gritty side to it, but because of everything that's happened, you can still get some type of light out of this. And he also says he helps the characters come together a little bit between Batman and Justice League. And he only shot for about, what do you say, about 5 minutes? So he's not in there for long. He said if you blink for a second, you'll miss Commissioner Gordon. But he is still have an important role in the movie. So that was really all that came out of that one. He didn't have much to say, just as I said, he wasn't a lot in the movie for him to do.
Yeah.
But he did say he hopes that this is the beginning of a handful of movies to do. He doesn't want this to be his only role for the DC Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. And I didn't know, when I first heard about him doing Gordon, I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean...
All I saw was
he's J. Jonah Jameson. He was built and he was created to play the role of J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
That was him, no matter what.
Parker!
Exactly.
I love that. He was J. Jonah Jameson. I think he'll be a good Commissioner Gordon, but in my heart, you know, the character.
Yeah.
Now, I will say also in this interview, he was speaking about how he worked on in The Accountant with Ben Affleck, so they have previous roles together. And also, just letting everybody know, the Suicide Squad 2 director is the same one that did The Accountant. So all of them somewhat have a relationship with each other previously in working with films.
Well, we've talked about it a bunch so far. Why don't we go ahead and watch the trailer for this
movie? Oh, dude, this is going to be great.
Let's do it.
All right.
Take that as a yes.
What?
The ring.
The world remains in mourning after the death of Superman. Violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
You've hated him.
I think it's something more. Something darker.
We're asking people we don't know to risk their lives.
Strong man is strong as alone. You ever heard that?
That's not a saying. That's the opposite of what the saying is.
Divided. We are not enough.
The world needs Superman.
Made him a promise.
This is why I brought you together.
Ride ain't over yet.
My man.
Awesome.
as a bat signal. That's your... Oh, shh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Yeah, that's what that means.
It's so cool.
So that's the one, the Justice League trailer. This is probably the final trailer we're going to get. I mean,
this is the final. They said this is going to be the final trailer until the movie drops.
We are going to. Well, we'll get some TV spots and things like that. But usually, those are just going to rehash what we have
already
here.
Seen.
They got me though.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
How often do we complain that they give away everything in the movie trailer?
Yeah.
And the opening scene, you see Lois walking out on a farmhouse.
From the Kent farm.
The porch.
Yeah.
Looking out into the cornfield, and you see Clark Kent standing in the cornfield checking out the corn.
Now, as I said, I knew they weren't going to show Superman as Superman. They show Clark Kent. When I saw Lois immediately, I'm like, okay, if they're showing Lois, it's because she's probably still thinking of him. She's having either a vision or a dream. Then we find out it was a dream.
We find out, yes, it is a dream. But, for sure, they had me. All the way up until she wakes up on the pillow.
Yeah, well, like I said, when he got buried, and I knew when he got buried, he didn't get buried in his flannel.
Yeah.
I know Superman can run, but if something important is happening, he's going to probably come up when everything big is happening. The other thing I noticed, I was telling you about, do you remember Superman, the first one, when he was in the red and black flannel?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's why I was in his red and black flannel.
Yeah. The other parts in this were awesome. You see a lot more character stuff. Barry still's coming off as a frat boy to me.
You know who's coming off as a frat boy to me?
Scene? Well,
Aquaman's more of a frat boy to me.
Okay, Barry's coming up as just almost like a college nerd. That's what
Yeah.
He's the socially awkward one.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of them.
Yes, he is.
The scene in the end where he's actually pointing out the bat signal.
Tell me that he
didn't sound drunk to you there. That sounds like a drunk Barry. Like, hey, dude, that's yours. We're not supposed to know this, but we know it's you.
I like this Barry Allen. To me, as long as you can give me some type of nerdy young guy, I'm cool with it. Because that's what we're getting on the show. Because Grant Gustin's a lot younger than what I would assume The Flash to be when
I
read
The
Flash.
Yeah, but he's already an adult, and he's a police officer. And
technically, college students are adults, too. They're just figuring out things they don't know yet. But now for the frat boy, I still think Aquaman was definitely
Aquaman.
Yeah. Oh my
Aquaman
goodness,
is the frat boy.
He was getting quotes wrong, shirt off, drinking, causing havoc in the right ways.
Yes. I like how the other Justice League members are throwing him around because he can't fly.
Right,
so they're throwing him at parademons, and he's just smashing them.
And he's cool with it. He's like, I got my Triton. I'll just fly around, throw him. I'll grab it back. I'll surf on him.
That's right.
But I really liked how they only let Wonder Woman say too much in here, but you got to see more of her action sequences.
Just looking at her and her action sequences and stuff, she and Batman are more like mom and dad.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about that. It's like, here's the mom, here's the dad, and they're the ones getting everybody together in the family. Yeah. And I really like how they're showing, since Superman's not there, he's the hope. This is kind of odd seeing Batman take on that whole, I have to keep everyone in line because I promised the Superman that we'll keep the hope in the world.
Yeah.
So it did change him from the whole gritty side. Now
some
he's showing a little bit lighter.
We were seeing this.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one they show the Superman monument and someone putting graffiti under it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look for his monument, look around you.
Yeah.
That is an awesome. I don't remember if that's directly out of
any book
or friend or any of the books from back then. But that is because basically the meaning that if you're looking to monument. And to pay tribute to Superman, live like he would live.
Exactly.
Help others.
Help others. Like that. That's it. Give hope to others that don't believe in
it. Be Superman in your own area.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're kind of getting from Superwoman. When she lost her powers, remember? He was like, even though you're not Superwoman, doesn't mean
you can't still be
Superwoman. Yes. So I like how everyone's got a lighter tone. Speaking of a lighter tone, we talked about the color. Some of the sequences were exact scenes
not that they were lighter, but there was more color in it.
Or more color.
It wasn't muted like it has been in the last couple.
Because remember when Aquaman hopped on Batman's Batmobile and was the first or second trailer? It was dark. I mean, it was just black night. And here, it's red, showing you Apocalypse was coming. They gave you some different color to pop out at your eyes. I thought that was a really good touch.
The
they've
parademons
added.
Look amazing in this.
Oh, and you see how they start changing people.
Yeah.
Tell me that guy didn't look like he was in a Wookiee suit. The brown, they had the sash. I'm like, that's a Wookiee without his mask.
Yeah.
But he started turning to a parademon. I can't remember. Did you say you read the first Justice League volume of New 52?
No.
That they show it actually in there. They take all these different beings from different worlds, different times. And they turn them into parademons. So say they could take you, they could take a Kryptonian, they could take a Sinestro alien race, all these different races, and bring them into Apocalypse.
You mean someone from Korriban?
I didn't know their name. Yes, that. Thank you. I'm like, yo, help me out.
Remember, that's where Sinestro's from, is Korriban? That was his original planet, wasn't it?
Yes.
you're just saying yes because you don't remember.
I don't remember the exact name for it.
I swear it was Korriban.
It probably is. We both like Green Lantern, but I think you've had a couple more years
friends,
in there.
If you need to correct us, you can always send us an email, dcsuperpowerspodcast@gmail.com.
Please do. We will take it. But yeah, they just take any race, period, and they'll take you up to Apocalypse and splice your DNA, and now you're a parademon. I'm trying to think, what was another thing that we saw in there that really stood out?
Cyborg
flying
everywhere. Yeah, Cyborg flying around. It's interesting because they show the Flash running up a set of steps. And
it's like, he looks like he trips.
Like he just tripped.
Yeah.
He kicks the top of the step. And then you see Aquaman go flying into a pillar.
From
another scene.
And another thing that we saw in here, too, we saw Cyborg holding some type of device, and I'm pretty thinking it's him trying to get in tune with a mother box. Who knows? Maybe we might be able to get a little scene of Apocalypse for a hot second.
I'm waiting to see a boom tube. A boom tube on live action movie.
I'm really sure we're going to get. If we don't get it, I'm like, wait a minute, guys. You gave us a Justice League movie with Apocalypse and Darkseid and Steppenwolf, and
I want to hear all the pinging, and then out of nowhere you hear a boom.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Steppenwolf, now, guys, I don't know if anybody.
That's the story you told me about just now that I hadn't heard about, and we don't have a link for.
They reversed the roles between Darkseid and family roles between Darkseid and Steppenwolf. What I mean by that, Steppenwolf in the comic books by Jack Kirby was the uncle of Darkseid. And here they felt, why would they put his uncle on here if he's more powerful? He should be. He's the older one. So they made Steppenwolf the nephew.
Just because he's the older one doesn't mean he'd be more powerful.
That's what I was thinking. A lot of people were saying, "Well, that shouldn't matter." When you hear uncle,
if I remember, didn't they say we just said this a couple weeks ago? Wasn't Darkseid and Highfather brothers?
Yeah,
yeah. Because both their fathers was Yagadul, which actually that was in Green Lantern.
So we might not even get to see a Highfather in this universe.
We will, but it won't be in this movie, I don't think.
No.
They're not going to introduce the new gods into this when they're still trying to introduce the Justice League.
Right, and also, the Justice League films right now, we won't probably see another Justice League movie, I want to say probably for like another 4 years,
years. No.
What do you think?
I'm hoping at about 2 at the most.
Well, I know they're working on everything else right now. They just got a full slate, but we never know really
what DC. Originally they were writing this as a part 1 and part 2.
True.
So they're going to do part 1 here, and then they already have the story for part 2.
So we'll get some type of sequel. I know we're getting a sequel, but I figure we wouldn't get till down the line.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this is going to be a great, great film. Everything's going to go well. And, I guess we're all in November.
Yeah. So, that's most of, this was actually released in, we retweeted it. Like I said, we were retweeting
so many things from Comic Con
all weekend. So everybody should have known this was out there. All of you hopefully have seen it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times. Everybody knows what's in this
trailer.
This
is actually on YouTube.
Hopefully you can start to quote it soon.
On YouTube right now, this is the second trending thing on, YouTube. I wonder what's the first one, but
I don't know.
Hey, we got in the top 5. We're in the top 2. That's even better.
Right. Well, in a little bit, it will be number 3.
Yeah.
In about an hour or two.
Yeah.
But that's for a different podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to get into most of the Comic-Con news that we have is about comic books.
Yes. And the biggest thing to come out of there about comic books was all because of Geoff Johns.
Yeah. Geoff Johns kind of stole Comic-Con Friday night with his Doomsday Clock panel. And I know you're all excited. It lets you go over some of the stuff that you got out of the Doomsday Clock panel, man.
Okay, well, they showed the first 6 pages from the Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I wish that this is why you go to Comic-Con, guys. I mean, you can watch the panel online.
But
everybody who was actually in the place got a Doomsday Clock poster and the first 6 pages of the Doomsday
Comic
Clock
book.
In an Ashcan version, which is basically your black and white version of the book.
Right, and somebody even asked the question, can we get this all in black and white one day? We want the real one in color, but it would be nice to get the other. You say you have to ask the writer about that.
Exactly. Well, no, Geoff Johns, that's not up to him or the artist. That's up to Didier and Jim Lee, whether or not they wanted to release it that way.
I think more than likely they probably will.
Well, they've been putting out director's cuts and things for a couple of the different books.
Right, that's what I'm saying. For something like this, they probably will. Now, one of the biggest things, Johns said he really did not want to give anything away till the date this issue dropped. But everyone up top was telling him, dude, there's so much coming out of there, and the fans are asking, give him a little taste of something.
Yeah, give him something.
And he's like, okay, I'll do it. Then he thought about it. I was like, yeah, I guess it won't be that bad to just give him a little reveal. Now, the big reveal we got at the end, I'm not going to say exactly yet, but with
that. No, we need to say it, but we'll say it at the end of this.
Yeah, right.
When we get to it, we'll talk about
right.
it.
Right. Him giving that away right there is let me know
how much. We retweeted it out and
yeah,
retweeted it
and I put it on Instagram. If that's being shown already, what else is going to happen? There's going to be some world-changing events for DC in here.
Well, some of the stuff I took away that was kind of cool is Geoff Johns said this is a 12-part book, and it's not going to be crossing over with anything else. This book is totally self-contained. And, mm-hmm. It is in-universe.
And he said
but it is self-contained to where you're not going to – like Metal, we have the – Dark Knight's Metal series.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the tie-ins.
All of the Dark Knight's Batman books. We mm-hmm. have Batman the Red Death, Batman mm-hmm. Murder Machine, which we're doing today.
Then we have the tie-ins with Suicide Squad, Arrow, all these other things.
The other books are
Nightwing.
Right now. Well, this is going to be just this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said he said basically, if you want to read this book, the only requirements you have is you have to should have read Watchmen.
And well, see that's the thing.
It picks up 2 years after the original Watchmen's over,
and he was
3 years,
something like that.
It's 1992. When did Watchmen take place? I don't remember the exact year that Watchmen took place.
Probably somewhere here. I'll give me a second. I'll bring it up. But the thing here that was really, really interesting. He said you don't need to read the Rebirth stuff. You can, but you don't need to. If you read the Watchmen, that's all you need, and you can pick up right here, and it'll show you everything else.
The one I had to tweet one of his quotes. Because he said, you have to read Watchmen, you have to know who Superman and Batman are.
Right.
And he said, even my 92-year-old or 96-year-old grandmother knows who Batman and Superman are.
Right.
I had to retweet that.
Yeah, I don't know. Seriously, anybody in the world, I don't know anyone that would say, I don't know about Batman or Superman.
Yeah.
The cover the cover is what we've seen before, people saying the end is here, and that was being held up with Rorschach previously in the Watchmen. So, who knows who's holding it this time. And also in the Doomsday Clock, this is going to take place. It just says years after. It doesn't give me an exact...
Yeah. And, well, actually, that sign, they did change for this. Because in the original Watchmen, the sign said the end is near. This one says the end is here.
You
didn't catch that change, did you?
I did not. I associate with the old one. Well, that's another thing he said that's happening right now. It's a crisis. I mean, when he says crisis, I mean, like, nuclear bombs will be going off soon.
Yeah.
The world is... darn near coming to an end. So they're going to need somebody to help save that. And in the world of the Watchmen, that already happened. And Ozymandias is now the biggest criminal for killing 3-point-something billion people in the world.
Well, that's because of the events of Watchmen.
Right. So he's now known as the biggest mass murderer. And while he's in his office and everybody's trying to come in to put him into custody, the world's going crazy. And now there's also somebody that's monologuing everything. You hear this, you're reading this person speak, or this character speak throughout all these six pages.
Well, just like, remember, Dark Knight's Metal right now, or the Metal
same as Hawkman.
Is all being told from the journal
of Hawkman.
Carter Hall.
Yeah, and that's the same thing for Rorschach's
here
journal.
So this one here is like a journal.
Right, and by the way, Rorschach's journal got out. This is why everybody's coming to... Ozymandias.
Yeah, the journal that he was keeping during Watchmen has gotten out, and it's one of the
which we found out
the highest, most selling book of all time.
Mm-hmm. Which we found out from the first from the Watchmen when he gave the book to the store. It's like, okay, somebody's going to pick this up and they're going to read it. So Ozymandias did not have long to bask in his joyful killing. But shortly before Rebirth, numerous pitches they say came in during the story with Dr. Manhattan and the Watchmen throughout the universe. And once again, as I said, all this stuff that's happening is being told from somebody, and the person that's speaking for all this is Rorschach.
Yeah.
Rorschach
is... you would be all excited when I saw that panel, the Rorschach in a prison, or outside a prison cell.
To be honest with you, I was excited, but for some reason I wasn't... I don't know, it was... for some reason something told me he was coming back for this.
Yeah.
After I seen Batman reading his book, or his journal, I'm like, they wouldn't just let Batman just read his journal. We have... the comedian's button somehow got in the cave.
Yeah.
Dr. Manhattan's doing all this weird stuff, and now Batman's reading Rorschach's journal. I'm like, I doubt they're going to just leave Rorschach out. So when I saw it, I was happy, but it wasn't like, I thought he was dead. For some reason, he told me he wasn't dead. I figured he was going to make an appearance.
Well, that's like, because basically in the world of the Watchmen, if I remember right, Rorschach takes the place of where Batman would be, but he's more questioned than he is Batman.
And that's what they said in here, and people were... The writer, I'm forgetting the writer's name right now. I'm losing the blank.
Lev Grossman?
Thank you. Grossman was saying he knew that the question.
He's actually just the moderator on the panel. He's not the writer for the book.
Oh, okay. I thought.
No, Jeff Johns wrote the book.
I thought
Johns isn't the artist.
Ah, okay. I thought he did a little bit of everything. He's a man of many talents.
Yeah, he's the writer.
Oh, okay. Thought he did a little.
No, Lev Grossman is actually a friend of Jeff Johns, and he actually had him moderate the panel.
Okay. I thought that was the artist too. But anyways, the Rorschach is like Batman. He said he's kind of like the. He knows he's supposed to be like the question with all these conspiracy theories and not believing everything, digging through people's trash, breaking into their houses, trying to find stuff about them. But he gives that tone of what Superman and Batman have. Here's like a godlike figure. I mean, you have all these powers at your fingertips. Here's a regular guy that's just kind of insane that's dealing with it. And the best thing they said about Rorschach, he doesn't go on your whole norm of, oh, I got to get up in the morning, I have to do this, I got to do this, I got to get a normal job, I got to pay my taxes. While everybody else up top and things we don't know in the background is happening, I'm just going to ignore it and be a normal person. He's like, no, somebody needs to look into this and figure out what the heck's going on in the world and get to the bottom of it. And that's what Rorschach does, and that's kind of what both Batman and The Question do. So this is really nice. And someone also, then they ask, are they going to show the parallels between Batman, Rorschach, and the parallels between Superman and Dr. Manhattan? Maybe Dr. Manhattan can...
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, I know Jeff Johns said that just about every question that's ever been brought up about this book that he's been asked will be answered in these 12 issues.
Right. And from what I'm getting from this, he said you got to read it. So I'm like, you're going to get it.
Everything about...
The time was a big
thing. The time jumps, everything of the two universes coming together, all of that will be explained in this book.
And we have something else we're going to review where it also, I think, ties in a little bit more into it. But I think somebody asked, and I feel like this is going to happen after Jeff Johns didn't give an answer, but just by saying they kind of gave an answer. Will Dr. Manhattan show Superman how much power he has, and will Superman show Dr. Manhattan his humanity again?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you're going to have to read the book, and I'm thinking, we're probably going to get that. But yeah, this was like the biggest thing to me that came out of Comic-Con for me. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff.
There's a couple of other huge ones that are in
but
here, too.
For me, this is my biggest thing that came out after seeing that Rorschach is definitely back. Dr. Manhattan, we still don't actually know where Dr. Manhattan is right now either.
Yeah, or where he has been.
Nothing. Ozymandias, we do know, is, well, the cops want to arrest him. Also,
In the world of this book, yes.
And also,
because as of right now, we don't know if this book is in the main DC universe yet.
No, we hate our answers. Also, Lex Luthor will play a part in this as well.
Yeah, Lex is in it. Batman, Superman, and Lex, all three. Because actually,
For me, this is why I got from this, just what I was thinking. You have Superman, you have Dr. Manhattan, you have Rorschach, you have Batman, you have Lex Luthor, and you have Ozymandias.
Ah, okay, the parallels.
Right, and those are the main three they really talked about and said that were going to be in the book. They said we're going to get other characters intertwined, but these are the six characters, and I feel like all six of them intertwine with each other. Like, they're almost the same exact character, but in different ways.
Yeah.
But... That's the Doomsday Clock. I don't think there was too much out of there. Like I said, guys, if you want to check out some more stuff, retweeted a whole bunch of things. I put the reveal of Rorschach on our Instagram so you guys can take a look at that.
Is going to be exciting.
Also, the reason why they're making... I don't know exactly what's going on with the whole world-ending thing here, but he said even in the first book there was parallels between what was going on in the war at the time. Now everything that's happening with the whole presidential stuff is going to play a big part in its own way in this book.
Yeah.
I think that's always like that.
The whole panel here is still on the DC Comics Facebook page and their YouTube page.
And
so if you want to go back, you can watch this. It was about an hour long.
And the whole live stream, it's all up there, guys. It's take about 55 minutes or about an hour. It's 55 minutes and some seconds long. Take that out of your time. Trust me, it's going to go by quick. I watched this and I forgot. It didn't feel like an hour went by at all. I was just so into it.
Yeah.
This is great. You got a lot of protesters, police. The world's going to crap in a handbag, so we're going to...
Actually, the nice thing is during this panel, those first six pages that they have that they gave everybody the Ashcan version of it, Jeff Johns actually went through and explained each of those pages.
Yes, and that's another thing you guys can hear. Basically, he did a little comment. He did commentary throughout the whole thing. And everybody was asking questions. I still didn't get my question answered.
You don't have to tweet it to him.
Where is... Martian Manhunter and Shazam, I seen them on Rebirth's first cover, man. Where you at?
You know what? Tweet that to Jeff Johns and make sure you do it from our Facebook or from our Twitter and see if you get a response.
Wasn't there a New York Comic Con, but I have a question for you. Where are they?
Well, the next one we have up here was actually out of the DC Metal and New Age Heroes panel from New York Comic Con. It was actually Flash writer Joshua Williamson polled the audience as to which was better. It came out fairly even, which was better between Barry and Wally West.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2018, the big story in The Flash will be the Flash War.
Yep.
Which pits Barry Allen against Wally West.
Something we've been waiting for a long time.
Well, and they kind of teased it this past week in Flash. At the end of the current storyline. Because remember, the Flash, Barry right now
he's
is still being infected by the negative
crazy.
Speed Force.
Yeah.
So, and then Wally says, no, I'm not going to fight you. We're going to actually, I'm going to train you now and retrain you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but.
And I always.
Find out, what?
Honestly, I always thought, I think you agree with me, Wally's the better Flash. I love Barry.
No, the original Wally West was my favorite. This new Wally is not the same guy.
No, but still Wally, any version of Wally I like, to me is still, I like him better. To me, he's better than Flash, better than Barry Allen.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm wondering, when they're talking about this, who are they talking? Oh, it says, no, it pits Barry yeah. Allen against the original Wally West. So this mm-hmm. is our Wally.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about the... See, when I say Wally West, I know there. I still sometimes forget there's a new one. In my yeah. head, I'm still seeing the redheaded one. So when mm-hmm. I say I forget about that. But yes, well, that's the original Wally West that he's going to be going against.
We do get... the question is asked, let's see who is the best Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Barry or is it Wally? Asked Williamson, teasing that the Flash War storyline will find out. It's me and Howard Porter starting in Flash number 46, which... Hang on just
what's
a
the
second.
Last... Yeah. What
Flash
is the last one?
Just came out this
one?
Past week, so what issue are we on right now?
31 or 32, I want to say.
Yeah, we're on 31,
okay.
So this is still going to be a little ways out. We're about 15 issues away from this still.
And
it'll
all
be
this...
Like 7 weeks or so it'll be probably December, January before we get to
and
this.
And he said this is going to take place after Dark Knight Metal,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, Williamson is contributing to the Dark Knight's Metal event with the Red Death, which we've already reviewed. And then chapters in the upcoming Bats Out of Hell storyline, which we'll talk about here in a minute, which is, I believe, the next crossover after the current one about Gotham City,
mm-hmm.
which actually just wrapped up this past week in Green Arrow. We'll review that
yeah.
next week.
But, oh, that's going to be something big.
It'll pit the evil Batman of the Dark Multiverse against their Justice League counterparts. At the panel, the Dark Knight's Metal and the New Age of Heroes panel, DC shared an image from the Flash Annual that features Wally West in his Rebirth costume, looking forlornly down at a costume in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
His Kid Flash costume and his pre-Flashpoint Flash
yep.
costume.
Yep. I saw a picture of that.
The major difference between
nope.
Barry and Wally's costumes as the Flash was Wally's was a little bit darker red.
Yeah, and
it was more crimson almost or
right.
scarlet.
And
then,
he had the white eyes.
He had
eyes.
The white eyes instead
yeah.
of the instead of being able to see his eyes.
So that was the only difference between them. I'm really excited to see this. I wonder how far are they going to go.
Yeah, well, I'm just happy to see the original Wally West back in Flash Comics.
Oh, yeah, so anything with him. Well, he's my favorite Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Tim Drake's my favorite Robin.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we discussed it a long time ago. My favorite incarnation of the Justice League for the characters was the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Wally West as the Flash, Kyle Rayner as the only Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Tim Drake was Robin. And then the rest of the characters were still who they are. But
right. And for me, I didn't read those. I was just being born around that time. You read them. I didn't read them. But because that's what I was used to growing up, those were the Green Lantern. That was the Green Lantern. That was the Flash. That was the Robin. So I just remembered those being the main iconic ones for me.
Yeah.
I found out there was more difference between each one. But those were the ones I grew up with and still the favorite ones. Plus, Kyle is the artist.
Hmm?
Kyle is the yeah. artist, Green
well,
Lantern.
Well, that was great. I used to love because the artist who made the book made a promise back when he was the Green Lantern that he would never make the same construct twice.
Mm-hmm.
Being an artist, his imagination would allow
expand
him to
enough.
Be, do different things every time.
And by the way, I never told you this, the Kyle Rayner DC toy I have upstairs, that thing was hard to find for a good price.
Yeah.
The Kyle was rare to find. but I got him. eBay, thank you.
Yep. Well, the next story up here was DC bringing back something kind of cool.
Yeah, I was wondering when they were going to bring
so
these
you
guys
have
back.
The other version of what I got. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead with it.
Well, this happened at Comic-Con. Milestone characters are coming back into the DC universe.
Now, if anybody is not sure what Milestone was, if you remember the old Static Shock cartoon, mm-hmm. and he's been in the books since then, but yeah. Static Shock was originally part of the Milestone universe,
yeah.
which was a different comic company that DC eventually had bought.
I'm trying to think. Icon, too. Icon yeah. was featured in Young Justice.
Yes.
So was Static, too. He wasn't big of a character as Icon was, but both of them were featured in there, and this was because they were other characters from Milestone, and after a while, like DC has done with Plastic Man and Shazam,
mm-hmm.
There's characters that was owned by different companies, but because...
Well, look at Grifter from the Wildcats.
And him. Yeah, that too. I forgot about that.
Have been brought into the DC universe.
There's been several they've done that with. I love that about DC. They're not like, we're not going to cancel you. We're just going to have you join us. I'm like, you know, that's good. Thank you.
It's almost like DC has the cookies.
I know, right? But the characters...
Anybody who gets that reference, that's awesome.
The characters that are coming back are Static Shock, Duo, Love Army, and Earth M. Now, Earth M is something I haven't heard of.
This is a new one, because it's actually from... Let me look up the actual Hoodlin, but where is it? Reginald Hoodlin and Alice Randall, and it features a mysteriously new vigilante character.
I really want to say I had toys of them.
So that's a new one.
I don't
know
why they look so familiar. I think I had toys of these guys when I was
young. Some of them, yeah. Well, also, Earth M is going to be the team book out of these.
Okay. Why it's called Earth M.
Now, Static is going to be an ongoing book.
Good.
Focusing on the 14-year-old Virgil Hawkins, a kid who, with a love of comics and science,
mm-hmm.
develops dazzling electric powers, and including being able to surf on manhole covers.
I don't want him canceled again, because that was one of the biggest disappointments from the New 52. They had the Static title, and eventually they canceled it. I was like, wait a minute, okay. I was just getting into that.
Well, Duo is a new Earth M miniseries. Now, all of these, this is being brought into the DC multiverse as Earth M.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one of the multiverse of worlds.
Right, and we can always get crossovers whenever you're introducing mm-hmm. a multiverse.
Well, Duo is a new Earth M miniseries written by Greg Pak, introducing the twisted story of a couple sharing one body for eternity.
That's interesting.
Two people sharing one
body.
That is
very interesting.
Almost like Firestorm or something.
Yeah, but it's a couple.
Yeah.
The next one is Love Army, a miniseries, a story by Hulum about a secret army of women with amazing abilities and strong super strength sworn to protect the planet.
Yeah.
That sounds like a little bit of Supergirl.
Quite possibly. Well,
but an army of them.
Now, Jim Lee actually told everybody about this at Comic-Con. He was there with the writer, producer, director, Reginald Hoodlin, and the Milestone co-founder and artist, Denny Cohen, to announce the return of the popular characters of the Dakota... Oh, this was the Dakota universe, in an mm-hmm. all-new collaboration called Earth-M this spring. Now, Cohen, Hoodlin, and Lee were joined by Milestone co-founder, Derek Dingle, and Earth-M collaborators, Alice Randall, Kyle Baker, Ken Lashley, and Greg Pak to share details of the reemergence of the classic Milestone characters, including Static Shock, Icon, and Rocket, which are the two main
yes.
the three main ones
yeah.
that have been in the DC universe.
Now those, I remember all of those names. Those sound very familiar.
As well as brand new character, creations from Hoodlin and Cohen, which will debut in a series of different titles under the Earth M imprint. Now, fans also received a surprise visit from the Walking Dead comic creator
yeah.
and writer Robert Kirkman, who stopped by to show his show a first look at his upcoming AMC documentary featuring the creation and history of Milestone Media.
Oh, okay.
This episode is one of six parts which comprise AMC Visionaries, Robert Kirkman's Secret History of Comics, a new series on different significant chapters in American comic book history. The miniseries is set to premiere on Sunday, November 12th at 11 p.m.
Also, I was going to mention, Icon looks very similar. I think they tweaked certain things, but Stack looks just like he did out of 2006.
Yeah, he actually looks the same, very similar to what he did in the TV
cartoon,
series
yeah.
also.
And I was saying that to you before we started recording. A lot of the characters that's coming back, their costumes look very similar to what they were in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which I think is good, because fans recognize those
exactly.
better. It's the connection between them. So I'm really excited about this. We've been talking about they're bringing more characters in the DC universe once again, and just keep this strong thing going you mm-hmm. guys got here. It's awesome.
Well, the cool thing here is, Jim Lee was talked about this. He said, "We know fans have been waiting for the return of Milestone Media."
One of them right here.
and we're excited to collaborate with Reggie and Dennis to build this new Earth M universe. This world will reintroduce iconic characters fans know and love, along with new, bold, original concepts, creating a new platform dedicated to inclusion and great storytelling. Now, the launch book for this is actually called Milestone, and it will create the foundation and overarching storyline for the future EarthM titles. The series, from writer Reginald Hoodlin and artist Ken Lashley, will focus on Icon and Rocket, and will feature other classic Dakota Universe characters from the 90s.
I was just going to mention, too, I think the reason why DC even wanted to talk to Milestone about all of this is because, once again, a copy of Superman.
Yeah.
Icon.
Their version of Superman?
If you
look at
it. Well, every company
out there has their other than Marvel, because Marvel actually goes back as, well,
they do now.
They have similar characters.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean, recently there's a new character, Hyperion. I'm putting his name out there because he really is their Superman. If you look at his backstory, it's like, okay.
But most of your comic companies
this looks familiar.
Substitute Superman.
Yes. Well, the thing about Icon was he was basically like with Shazam. See, the thing with Shazam, he looked like Superman. Story-wise, Icon is Superman's background. So I think that might have been one reason why they said we need to talk and figure out a deal between this where we can come to some type of solid ground, and that's why. So they kind of just fuse together and get to use them on DC. That's all I want to say, though. It's one of those things of Superman clone out there in the world of a different comic book company. And then we got another one.
The next one
here.
I'm all excited about, another big story out of, is we actually have some details
so close
about Action Comics number 1000. Now, there's going to be a huge star-studded celebration in 2018. We're going to get a whole lot more details as we get to
this. Are we buying every...
Right around in March is when this is getting ready to drop.
Are we buying every single variant cover?
We may have to, dude.
We might. For this, yeah.
I'm going to start saving now.
Yeah, seriously, because this is iconic. Like, this is not going to happen for a while.
Well, this was talked about during the kickoff of the Meet the Publishers panel at Comic-Con. Publishers Dan DiDio and Jim Lee announced that there will be a star-studded celebration to commemorate the 1,000th issue of Action Comics, the longest-running and first-ever superhero comic to reach 1,000. Now, Superman or Action was the first superhero comic ever.
Yep, and that was in 1938.
It was the longest-running comic in the comic book history because it was the first.
Guys, think about that. That was in 1938. It's 2017.
Yeah. Well, the publishers also revealed a new commemorative logo for the celebration. And it says, in 1938, two kids from Cleveland, Ohio, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, right down the road from us, created a character they thought would represent the best of humanity in a troubled time with few beacons of hope for the future. Remember, in 1938, we weren't in World War II yet.
No.
World War II was already started. The world was looking very dark.
Yeah, very. That's when a lot of the whole war and hate really started to come about. You know, people in the world are not that good.
Yes. Well, that character went on to become one of the brightest and most well-known creations in all of pop culture.
I think he's the most iconic character in pop culture.
Well, everybody in the world, I think there's like top five logos that are recognized. Superman and Mickey Mouse are two of the top.
That makes sense.
The
thing about Superman is he's his own word. I mean, everyone's like, you want to be like a Superman. Oh, there's this like a super. It's crazy what he has done, and he's been around for so many years. This is 80 years going on now.
Exactly.
And we're finally getting to the 1,000th issue of the comic book, and it has not been canceled either.
No. Well, it all began in Action Comics. All of the Superman in general, superhero comics started in Action Comics.
Yes.
DC is proud to celebrate the 1,000th issue of this seminal title that created the entire superhero genre, bringing joy, hope, and inspiration to Superman fans from around the world for 80 years. Now, in March of 2018, DC will publish several special titles to honor the milestone. A new hardcover book, join us for an 80th anniversary celebration of the single most important comic in American history, Action Comics number 1 and the birth of Superman. Revisit classic stories from over the decades featuring the debuts of Superman, Supergirl, Brainiac, The Fortress of Solitude, The Human Target, and so much more.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The Human Target gets listed in that.
Yeah, not the other characters.
Well, read Superman stories by generations of top writers and artists and enjoy sparkling essays from literary wizards who've won Pulitzers and become bestsellers, including Jules Pfeiffer. plus a historical essay by guest editor Paul Leavitt, and all 1,000 action covers collected in a new poster. That one may have to go on the wall here.
Yeah, we're going to... I'm looking like, where is it going to go?
And as a bonus, an unpublished 1940s Superman tale believed to be by Jerry Siegel and the Joe Shuster Studio.
Oh, wow.
Salvaged from the DC files 50 years ago and hidden away until now.
Wow. Wow.
Now, Action Comics number 1000 itself will be written by Peter Tomasi and Dan Jurgens. It will be published as a special oversized edition featuring an all-star talent lineup writing backup stories, including a story co-written by Jeff Johns and Superman film director Richard Donner.
The Donner, now, most people, the best people universe. Know,
Jeff Johns actually started his career as an intern for Richard Donner.
Hmm, didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like the two of them working together on doing a backstory is going
to
be awesome.
It was destined for him to be the great man he is.
Exactly.
Wow, I don't know. I'm a little speechless because seeing something like this from when I was younger, getting into know Superman, I would see these covers before I could even buy them. But then we got Comixology, some of them I have on my computer, on my phone, tablet. But we're actually going to get the 1,000 issue when I can hold it in my hand. This is all these years have been building up to this. That's crazy. Hey, maybe I can, one day I'll be about 90-something and we'll see 2,000 issues.
It's possible. That's going to be a long way down the road. Yeah. 80 more years?
80 more. So,
unless medical technology gets really, really good, there ain't no way I'm reaching
medicine.
Out.
Just believe in the medicine, Ken.
So, then the next one up is we actually hear a little bit. This is also, I believe, out of the which panel was this one from? Give me a moment.
It's at the very bottom. It's not.
Which panel? It doesn't say.
I thought it was at the bottom. Panels,
was talking about the new Terrifics book, which we know is coming.
Mm-hmm. Which book was it? We saw Mr. Terrific in... We'll get to that a little bit later.
But the information about the Terrifics, we know some about it. Like, we know Plastic Man's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Girl's going to be in it.
Metamorpho.
Mr. Terrific is more than likely the leader of the team.
Because
it's named after
right.
him.
Right. And then Metamorpho, of course.
Metamorpho. Well, we have DC's The Terrifics includes Plastic Man, Phantom Girl, Mr. Terrific, and Metamorpho. This group of heroes might bring back another team that fans thought they would never see again or see in the DCU. DC released a new image at New York Comic Con. Then take a look at the notice on the section below. Now, if you look at the poster, it shows some villains right above the
Stag. That's Stag.
That Stag above?
Yeah. Stag and his henchmen. I don't know, to be honest. I'm reading these names and I'm like, I don't know who those characters are. Actually,
this is a
comic
you're gonna have to put up on.
I don't know if I can get that whole thing. I don't think I can get that whole. That is a long one.
It says yes, exactly. The bottom part of the image shows Tom Strong, his wife Dalua, his daughter Tesla, and companions Newman and King Solomon. The cast of characters from Alan Moore and Chris Sprouse's 1999 America's Best comic title. If you remember, there.
Oh, dude, look how far back this goes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember their last appearance in the in 2013's Vertigo Limited series, Tom Strong in the Planet of Peril, by Peter Hogan and Sprouse, the Terrifics will be written by Jeff Lemire with artist Ivan Reese and Doc Shanner.
Oh, no, that's just the style of it. Okay.
It is described as a family title with the goal to recapture the feeling of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four. If the extended cast, being Tom Strong and his family, would fit right into that with the aesthetic, then it says about the comments and stuff. But, this is not a team I'm familiar with much.
No, I'm looking them up now. They actually first appeared in Wizard Comics.
Okay.
In 1999, January 1st.
Well, Wizard Comics was actually made by Wizard Magazine,
and we would get the comics in the magazine, as we were talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where they came from. That's why I thought it was older, because of the way they drew it. I guess I'm going to take a little jab at Marvel here. Did you notice what's happened in Marvel Comic Books with Fantastic Four recently?
The fact that they're gone?
They're trying to bring them back. But I heard about this after we got this team.
The characters from the Fantastic Four have always been there.
But the team has not been there.
Yeah, it's not been the Fantastic Four. They've all had their own little things going.
But once we talked about this, I think we
did like 2 months ago. Was it three? Two, 3 months ago. We were like, something look, DC's making their own version of the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking they're probably going to do better than Fantastic Four right now because they don't exist really.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to bring them back now. And I'm like, I wonder if that's because DC said that. And now I'm like, uh-oh, we got to do something about this. But yeah, I haven't heard them, never seen them. They kind of look, he looks a little familiar. Like, maybe, have you seen him anywhere? In any other book, Tom Strong, at all?
From the way it's looking, okay, I thought that was a lightning bolt on his chest. It's not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a big triangle.
Why, what are you seeing there?
America's Best. What was that?
That was the book he ever in originally.
Okay, I thought they said they made a movie. Yeah, I remember seeing this, that. Probably from Wizard. Probably because I was reading Wizard magazine, he looks a little familiar. But, okay, so they're bringing these characters back. Once again, there's more coming. And we have another article we're going to do with another character coming back. Two of them, actually. So,
okay.
Ready to talk about them? We have, what is this? The next one is Young Animal and DC are going to be...
Yeah, we talked about this was coming. We got some more details about mm-hmm. the crossover with Young Animal and DC's mainstream universe.
That's awesome.
Now, what did you get? You read through this story more than I did. What did you get out of it?
It's just really...
the fact that they're still doing it?
Yeah, still doing it and begins
I know it's going to be in January. I think it's actually going to be with the annuals.
Yeah,
The January annuals are going to do it.
Well, this was saying a little bit more details, literally about a couple of sentences. Mother Panic and Batman are no barriers, but Cave Carson and Swamp Thing, that's something different.
Yeah. Swamp Thing's in the Young Animal universe?
No, that's what they're trying to say.
Oh, they're going to put Cave Carson
and Swamp Thing
together. Okay.
And I don't know how many other different crossovers we will get besides that.
Well, I think it's supposed to be the Young Animal annuals that are doing the crossovers.
Okay.
Kind of like we did with the Hanna-Barbera annuals last year.
Yeah. By the way, Cameron wants to buy those.
the Hanna-Barbera ones?
Yeah, where he saw Space Ghost and Green Lantern, and he's like, what is this? I need this. I'm like, Cameron, you don't like this thing. I'm like, what?
You're going to show him Future Quest.
I wonder if he'll be... Well, he's going to have to if he's going to get... Yeah, if he's going to get the other stuff. But that was just a little something that... This is the one I was saying that's really
this
breaking.
This is what we're really excited about.
Yeah, we've been talking about this since Rebirth started. We knew there was a new Superboy, Jonathan, but now we're like, where's our previous one, Connor Kent?
Where's Connor Kent?
He was my favorite. I love Jonathan as a son, but to me, will always be my Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I grew up with in the 90s. Well, during DC's Batman panel on Saturday at New York Comic Con, Tinian was asked a question, and the answer was to be happened with Connor. He's going to be revealed in the beginning of this week in Detective Comics issue number 966.
Well, actually, what he said was the answer to what happened to Connor is probably, which basically means definitely,
mm-hmm.
going to be revealed beginning this week in Detective Comics 966. Now, we're doing a review of 965 this week.
Right, and I think, as I told you, this was my prediction of what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. From what we're seeing, we're getting a glimpse now into the previous years of Tim Drake's life.
Yeah.
Connor Kent was a big part of it. As I was telling you in the Teen Titans, Young Justice, they were basically the new Batman and Robin, but younger. I'm sorry, Batman and Robin. Superman and Batman, but younger versions of them.
And actually, this goes all the way back to, I have to give it to, let you read it, because I have the original run of World's Finest from the 90s that was the original version of Connor Kent and Tim Drake as Robin.
With the earring and the...
He had the fade going, and the leather jacket over the spandex.
Yeah.
And it's him and Robin working together, and it's Tim Drake
right.
Robin.
And that carried on to even when he became Red Robin mm-hmm. in the Teen Titans, and there's still Superboy there.
Well, this takes place... this next issue of 966 brings the... continues the Tim Drake-centric arc of A Lonely Place of Dying, which deals with Red Robin's escape from Mr. Oz, which we know is Jor-El.
Yeah, I remember one... Maybe. I remember one issue, this caused a little love triangle, but it kind of was one of those things that pulled in the heartstrings. Superboy died fighting Superboy Prime, and Wonder Girl was dating him at the time, and Tim Drake was his best friend. She went down to the Robin cave, and Noah was like, Tim, what are you doing? You've been down here for hours. You're brooding. You're acting like Batman. He said, I just want my friend back. He was trying to clone Superboy again since he's already a previous clone. He couldn't do it, but he was crying like, I just want my friend back. And I'm like,
well, that's actually, Tinian talks about some of this.
Okay.
He says, it's an important arc that Tinian says taps into what makes Drake important, and bringing Connor back or beginning the steps toward it would indeed be fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Connor were best friends in the DC pre-Flashpoint universe, so much so that Tim changed his costume to red and black after Connor's death.
Yep.
The two were also founding members of Young Justice alongside Impulse and worked together as part of the Teen Titans.
Now, I liked how they put Impulse in here. And when I heard that, I was thinking to myself...
They specifically said Impulse Bart,
Bart
Allen.
So, will we be... Remember I said that earlier. I said in this whole Flash War, will that be how we get Impulse to come back, Bart Allen to come back into
our
universe?
Or are we going to figure out maybe what happened to Impulse? Where is he?
Or that. And after that, if this is happening, next year we better have Casey back. Or Cassie back.
Oh, yes. So, Vicky would go bananas. That's her favorite Wonder Woman.
If we get all three of or all four of them back, I'm good.
Like they said, there's a stack of characters that are missing that need to be. Martian Manhunter is still missing.
Mm-hmm. Shazam is still missing.
Connor Kent is still missing. Mm-hmm. Cassie is missing.
Impulse
is missing.
So, but from what it sounds like, we're getting them back shortly.
Hopefully,
but we're getting
work
them
on that. Yeah.
They wouldn't just say that name just to say that name.
Yeah, we have a couple more things to wrap up here. This one's a real quick one, because do you remember the character of Aztec?
Oh, yeah. He was on... The first time I ever got introduced to him was on Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
I remember seeing him on there. I did some research on him. He's basically a magic character, just as his name is with
Aztec. Yeah, I don't
Aztec.
Remember much about... I remember when he was introduced.
I don't remember one book with him in there. I can say that, but I remember him from the cartoon, did my research. But... Guys, Aztec's coming back from me. I remember him. He was introduced in 1996. Aztec was in the Aztec Ultimate Man issue number 1 by Grant Morrison and Mark Miller and N. Steve Harrison. The hero is trained by childhood to do secret society, equipped with magical suit of armor to battle the Aztec god. Help me with his name. Tezcatlipoca. Am I getting that right?
Tezcatlipoca?
To prevent the end of the world. So he was always used to be, well, it just says his name, Aztec. He uses Aztec magic for his suit. And also, as they say in here, he was in several episodes of Justice League Unlimited as a background character. I don't even think he was given a voice. But Orlando seems to have some type of interest in him and is hinting the character's return a few months from now. And he will be in Justice League of America in the hometown of the Rey.
What's interesting here for me is they're bringing back characters like Aztec. They brought back the Rey. But these big ones that we were just talking about mm-hmm. are still sitting on the back burner somewhere.
I think that's why, because, like, once again, we're also getting Static back.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting Mr. Terrific back. Mr. Terrific's big, but he is no Superman. He's no Batman.
Yeah.
He's no Shazam. But I think they're letting the small characters come back, and they're giving... seem like a new character every couple months. Mm-hmm. We're getting somebody new. And the big ones are going to be used as a big reveal, just as we saw with everything that's going on now and this whole Dark Metal and Oz thing.
Yeah.
So for big story arcs, we'll get the big characters back, which makes sense.
Well, our next story brings us right back to that Dark Knight's Metal New Age of DC Heroes panel. People that actually got to attend that got more than their money's worth when they... came to hear the latest about the headbanging, face-melting event, Taking Comics by Storm. It was moderated by DC publisher Dan DiDio. The dais included an all-star lineup of DC talent, beginning with the metal team of writer Scott Snyder and artist Greg Capullo, with the critical and sales success of the 6-issue main series so far. Dan, Scott, and Greg started talking about how Dark Knight's Metal truly is an event that impacts the DC Universe now and as well as in the future. Initially announced as Dark Matter, fans also got to hear and see the latest of what's been renamed as the New Age of DC Heroes. Spinning out of metal, the unique vertical gatefold covers were revealed for the Terrifics, the Immortal Men, Damage, the Silencer, and Sideways. DiDio reminded the crowd that all the debut issues are going to launch at $2.99 price point, and the gatefolds could hold some Easter eggs that would be revealed throughout the series. Now, New York Comic Con fans were also introduced to two additional titles added to the New Age of DC Heroes lineup, along with their creators. Writer Justin Jordan, along with who also is co-writing Sideways with DiDio. Ooh, Dan DiDio is going back to writing some.
Good.
Nice. Was on hand to talk about his vision of The Curse of Brimstone, showing off some of the early artwork and character design, while Steve Orlando got to introduce fans to his new mystery title, The Unexpected. Writers of several of the one-shots, crossovers, and tie-ins that are key elements of metal were on hand to talk about their contributions to that awesome story. Batman the Murder Machine writer Frank Thierry Batman, the Batman Who Laughs writer James Tynion IV, along with the Flash writer Joshua Williamson, and Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps' Robert Venditti, whose titles are part of the Bats Out of Hell four-part crossover, along with Justice League, which, like I said, is the next storyline after the current crossover of Gotham Resistance. Each writer discussed working with Scott and Greg, coordinating their individual issues to advance the overall narrative of the main story. Fans also got to look at the covers Fans also got a look at the covers of each of the crossover issues that, when connected, form one mega image of the Justice League and Green Lantern taking on the evil Batman of the Dark Multiverse.
Nice.
So, yeah, this is looking awesome with all the tie-ins coming out and everything else. This is a year-long event that's just going to change DC Universe again.
Yeah, I love when they do that. Those are groundbreaking events.
Well, the last thing I had on here was one that you didn't hear about at all.
No, I didn't.
Warner Brothers Records and DC are going to collaborate on a Dark Knight's Metal soundtrack. Now, the last two soundtracks that DC has put out for their comic book line have been awesome. We love them both.
They're all theme songs from things from our childhood, from when we got older. It's our lifehood almost of theme songs.
Now, one of these, I didn't know his background, but fans of both rock music and the comic books received a double shot of awesomeness at Comic-Con as DC Entertainment announced an upcoming collaboration with Warner Brothers Records to produce a 6-track EP featuring songs inspired by Dark Knight's Metal. So this is all new music.
And it's going to better be heavy metal, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when you find out who's actually writing this. But this year's Blockbuster Comic event, we know about that. As both a musician and a fan of heavy metal music, having a soundtrack for Dark Knight's Metal is pretty awesome, says Greg Capullo. I really like the concept of having hard-driving heavy music as a complement to the incredible story that Scott and I are telling. Now, the production of the soundtrack will be guided by two of the recording industry's brightest stars, Tyler Bates, who actually does a lot of movie music.
You were telling me about him earlier today.
Tyler Bates has produced and composed music for video games, television, and movies, including The Watchmen, 300, and Guardians of the Galaxy. He's also the lead guitarist for Marilyn Manson.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense now.
Well, Senior VP and A&R, Senior VP of A&R at Warner Brothers Records, Mike Elizondo, will also co-produce the soundtrack with Bates. Elizondo has worked with some of the most prolific artists in hip-hop, and most notably Dr. Dre and Eminem.
Mm.
He also collaborated with popular music acts such as 21 Pilots, Muse, Mastodon, and Avenged Sevenfold.
And 21 Pilots was one of the better songs from the Suicide Squad album.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it says, working together with our partners at DC on a project of this magnitude represents a huge step forward in how music can be used to enhance great storytelling and provide even more immersive experience for comic book fans, said Xavier Ramos, the Senior VP of Marketing for Warner Brothers Records. Then we have, I'm really honored by this, said Scott Snyder. So many of Batman's stories that Greg and I have worked on together have been fueled and influenced by music that inspired us. This story in particular has rock and metal music as the driving the engine driving it all. To have something like this come together is a huge thrill. Now, then the rest is just about that. So, it doesn't say when it's coming out. They just know they're writing it and we're going to be getting it.
Now, this is actually more of an original one, too, from what we got previously.
This is 100% original, they said. This is all stuff that was inspired by Dark Knight's Metal.
Okay. I wish I had that now so I could, read the book and play the music while I'm reading. I'm like, yeah, I can feel the scene happening right now.
Since they've announced it probably is most of the way done, hopefully.
Okay.
So we should be able to get it soon. But that's all the news that we pulled out of Comic-Con so far. I know there's a lot of stuff we missed.
Yeah. Some of the stuff we had to go over. We had to pick and choose what we really wanted, what we felt was more important.
Mm-hmm.
That was the news.
If you guys found some news that we missed that we should have covered on here, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
Gmail.
DC Superpowers Podcast at gmail.com. All of them are available. Let us know what we missed.
Yeah. Help us out, guys. Help
exactly.
us out. But we're not perfect. We need the fans' help sometimes.
We do need to get to these reviews, though.
Yes.
Because there is some huge things
deep,
that happened
deep
this
stuff.
Week.
Great stuff.
So, and actually, I think we're going to start with Action Comics number 988.
Yeah. We should start with this one first. Cause this
No.
But it says part one.
That's part one of that story.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Whoops, I saw Oz right here.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Mr.
Right.
Oz is in both of these books, but Detective was part one of that story.
That story of
this
Mr.
This is part
Oz.
One of, or part two of this story.
And this one, as I said, what, I don't know. I like Detective better this week, I think, out of everything we got here.
I think we need to, we'll just touch on this a little bit as we go.
Okay. Because it's really just the background of what happened.
Yeah,
this was sad, though. This was a very sad story.
This was the new, basically, what happens to Jor-El after Kal-El is sent to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it may tie into what's coming up in the Doomsday Clock,
right,
hopefully.
Right, right.
We start off with Superman and Jor-El in the fortress. And remember, Jor-El brought Superman here so he'd reveal who he is as Mr. Oz. And we get back, Superman can't believe him. He has Kal-El start
He's calling
him
a liar and everything. Like, this can't be right. And I love how he was saying, I'm having him check you because I've been duped before.
Yeah, I've been surprised before. So, and then, but Kal-El won't listen to him, and then he finds out that Kal-El already knows who this is, and he, since Jor-El's his creator, he can't, he has to do what Jor-El says before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Then we keep going here, and, Jor-El takes him to the crystals and says, well, the crystals don't have just the history of our world, it also has everything you've done here, and everything that's gone on, that went on,
with him.
On my side, you
right.
just weren't able to access that before.
And he reveals
and we start
to
off a couple of days before, I believe it was a couple of days before Kal-El's born.
Oh, yeah, before he's born. Before he's born, you still see his mother holding her belly with him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his grandfather and his father getting into an argument. And his grandfather's telling him, you're going to go into the Phantom Zone because everyone on this planet doesn't believe you anymore.
Yeah.
You're not credible.
Well, the idea was that Jor-El had already figured out that the planet is going to die. The only way to actually save Krypton is to leave the planet.
Yeah.
And space travel has been banned. It's illegal because of what had happened in the past with Lor Van.
And he also...
Wait, no. Who was... I remember. Was it Jack Sir? Yeah, it was Jack Sir. The crimes committed by Jack Sir are why... and I know the name. I'm trying to remember where... I know it from Superman, but...
Yeah. But as we're going, I'll let you know who Jack
It was the crimes he committed that caused them to ban space travel.
And I like how he got a little nod to even Zod, saying Zod will want you arrested, too, for this idiotic theory you have.
So, but then Lor Van is actually Jor-El's father-in-law that's telling him this and says, for your own good, I'm wiping all your research out and getting rid of it.
This was the first... Zack Sor was the first criminal to be in the Phantom Zone.
Okay. He was in something recent, too, I believe.
Okay.
So,
That's interesting. I wonder if they're going to dig him back out next time we get Zod.
It's possible.
He's probably still in. Suicide Squad, remember? Well, no, that was in the Phantom. Was that the Phantom Zone? Yeah, didn't Flag get sucked into the Phantom Zone?
I don't know if he was sucked into the Phantom Zone. I don't remember.
I think he was. I can't remember.
But then we flash to Lara and Jor-El putting Kal-El in
the ship to send him to Earth.
Launching him to Earth.
Now,
and, what it is they had already, Lor Van had gotten rid of all the information on how to build the ships. But Jor-El remembered enough to be able, just enough to build the rocket for the baby only.
Right. And so, they contact, of course, his cousin, too.
But as the planet is being destroyed, he's holding his wife ready to die. And something, he kind of turns blue and disappears. And he's being shot across the cosmos
now,
wrapped in blue energy.
Right. Now, another thing I want to say, he actually watched his wife die because this is when he was wrapped in blue energy. It seemed to protect him. So he saw her die.
Well, partially protected because he is still burned beyond recognition.
But as he's going through, it's some type of black cosmic energy that's keeping him. Blue. And we keep saying blue because it's like, what else has protected people and helped them out with blue energy? Another character
discovering. Another one that we might be seeing soon.
And as they're going through this time, he's letting them know, I saw your mother die. I was with her. Next time I landed, I was on Earth just like you, but in a different place.
Yeah, and he looks like he's dropped into the city of, or into a war-torn village in Africa, probably.
Yeah.
And it basically, just like Kal-El came to Earth, was founded by the Kents and raised, well, he was founded by in
a family
in this village that is being held by a warlord, and he experiences all the stuff that these people have to go through, of the warlord stealing their food and all these things, until eventually he gets better, and they're ready to throw him out, or tell him, hey, you have to go, because we can't feed you and feed us.
No, but they've been feeding him and getting him back to health, mm-hmm. and once he got healthy enough, it's like, okay, you got to go.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to do something good, as he always would.
Exactly.
He goes to the father warlord. Of Superman. And he steals the food back that they stole already. And they're eating. They haven't had a good meal like this in a long time. But the boy pulls out some kryptonite and tells him, there's something important I need to tell you.
He tells the warlord this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what happened. He's telling the warlord this. Gotcha.
If it'll save my family, I have something I can show you here.
So the warlord
turns and says, you know what? You've been a good kid. Here, let me show you this. This is how you deal with people who steal from you and actually puts a gun into the kid's hands and makes him kill his family.
Yes, and by the way, guys, Jor-El's monologuing all this, and he's basically letting Superman know, this is why when I sent you here, I was afraid. I regret sending you here.
Yeah, this
I was
the
worried.
Things that he experienced when he came to Earth.
Right.
He experienced the worst of humanity.
Right. And
whereas
this,
Superman was raised by the best of humanity.
Exactly. And this is where he said, I want you off this planet. I didn't wish I never brought you here. Every day I was being in the darkness, I was worried about you. I'm like, mm-hmm. Where's my son? How are they treating him here? And also, when he got pulled out, the organization pulls him out into the sunlight. He says he felt the sunlight, and he knew he did something to him, but at the time, he wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
So he didn't even think about when he got kicked by the men, that didn't even hurt.
Yeah, he didn't realize the power that the yellow sun was going to give him. So he watches this kid kill his family. And as he's getting ready to, he starts torturing these people with the heat vision, because he's just like Superman, the first time he uses the heat vision is an emotional response. Well, he starts torturing guys, and right before he figures out what's going on with the kid starts shooting him, and he's sucked off into another place again.
Yeah, with the blue energy again.
Yeah, the blue energy sucks him away, and then he's put in front of a bank of monitors to watch the entire history of the world. And all of the wars and famine and disease and everything that's been caused by Earth, and how man
repeats itself.
The more modern man gets, the more man figures out how to kill each other.
Yeah, it's like every type of technology we get doesn't get used for good; gets used for more violence and war.
Mm-hmm. So then he gets back to this is where he's finally like, you know what? This is why we got to leave. This world is not worthy of you. You should come with me. I am sorry for bringing you here.
And he also said the same thing. He was like, just how I tried to help Krypton and they didn't want my help, you can help them every day of your life, but they're not going to be a good world.
Exactly.
No matter how
you're
many
never
lives
gonna change
you
them.
No.
They're not going to change their nature. So Jor-El's convinced that Earth is worse than Krypton. It's actually going to destroy itself. Its fate is sealed. There's no more time. It's time to leave and get your things together. I'm taking you away from here forever. And that's the end of the book. And next issue is Farewell to Earth.
I wonder how far this is going to go with him and his father.
I don't know.
What is Superman going to do?
But the next one is one I've been waiting for an entire year.
Yes, and this, like I said, this is my favorite book of the week.
Yeah. I mean, even over Metal, I like this one better.
I love Metal, but seeing Tim back in, Batman's my favorite character. Both of them deal with Batman, but this was something I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I didn't know about, they even dug deeper into Tim's origin.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes him such a great Robin.
I think this is stuff that actually, a lot of this was in the original material when
yeah.
he became Robin.
Robin, right.
But that was so long ago that a lot of people don't remember any of this.
Actually, I still have the book upstairs, I guess I collect all the books, or try to collect all the books. There is a little, I think it was about 3-4 parts. Excuse me. Tim Drake came to Nightwing and was like, help
yeah.
me. Show me what to do. I still have those books upstairs. So him and Tim always had this brotherly relationship.
Yeah. Well, this starts years ago, and it's basically Tim Drake showing the Dick Grayson pictures of Batman fighting and is explaining to him and trying to basically talk Dick Grayson into becoming Robin again, because he's talking about how
the
with
death
Jason's
with Jason
gone,
Todd.
He's getting more violent, he's starting to hurt people, and people are actually hurting him because his mind's not in the game. He
right.
needs a Robin.
Yes, he needs a Robin. So, in his intention in doing all this, he wanted Robin to come back, but he wanted Dick Grayson to come
exactly.
back as Robin, not Nightwing.
And then you flip to now, and Tim is in, if you remember the cage, that the Kryptonian criminals were in the original Superman the movie and Superman 2. The kind of light circles that were circling mm-hmm. around. Well, that's kind of like what he's in right now, and he's being questioned by Mr. Oz. Basically, Oz is asking him, why did you do this
mm-hmm.
all those years ago? Why did you go to Dick? Why didn't you just do it yourself and all these things?
And then I was saying, this is where he goes to Wayne Manor and he shows the picture. He basically tells them, I looked at all things. I'd noticed around the time when your parents died, Dick, I was there too, and I'll never forget how good you were at acrobats.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember that triple flip you did.
And then he saw Robin do that same triple flip 3-6
exactly.
months ago.
And he was thinking, wait a minute. Bruce Wayne was there tonight, picked you up, made you his son, really took you in. And then months later, Batman has this new sidekick called Robin. Put two and two together. He says, you guys did really well on covering your tracks. The only reason most people weren't able to find it is because they never got to know the Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne. Me, I knew Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne, then put two and two together once Batman and Robin,
yeah.
of course, are in Gotham.
He said, you guys covered your tracks really well, but once you've already realized in your head that Dick is Robin and Bruce is Batman, it's real easy to figure out the rest.
Yes.
I mean, it all falls into place.
Right.
If you make that one leap.
And now, with all this going on, Dick's like, okay, well, I'm going to go out and try to help Batman as Nightwing. And then this is where he runs to him and is like, no, I didn't mean for you to go off and help him as Nightwing. Batman needs a Robin. And this is when Alfred tells Tim, I think the only similarity Master Dick and Master Wayne share is they're stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Well, and remember, this whole time, Oz is questioning Tim and is asking himself, so why was it your responsibility to make sure this happened?
Yeah, he's interrogating him, asking him, why did you do this? Why did you? You could have stopped. He said, you could have just shown them what happened, gave them that picture, been Robin for one night, and went back home and lived your normal teenage life.
He says, and it's all these are whys. Why did it have to be you to do this? And Tim says straight up, because he was the one that actually saw what needed to happen. He saw the big picture. He had to make sure that they come together because
mm-hmm.
no one else could see it.
Right.
And you get to the point where Bruce is accepting Tim as Robin
mm-hmm.
and says, and then Mr. Oz comes back to, you had already saved all their lives and you're already a hero. You could have just left it there. And then, but Tim says, sure, I guess I could have, but I realized right about that time, that a hero doesn't have to have a mask, but it helps.
And I love that quote.
And I love this whole spread picture. If you look at, that's the original Batman
Robin
costume.
Adam West.
Yeah, that's the Adam West Batman costume in the case. It's Tim in his Robin costume. Then we get more of Mr. Oz, and then Tim's going through talking about how he helped as Robin, he was able to help Batman figure out a support system so that Gotham would always have help. And if something would ever happen to Robin, Batman would still have help because Batman's never been on his own.
Right.
Batman was on his own for a year before he met Dick.
Dick,
and became
yeah.
and got Robin. And since then, he has never...
Straight
everybody looks
away.
At Batman as the lone avenging angel in Gotham.
Yeah.
He has never... been alone.
And I was when I was reading that at the time, I was actually going through my head thinking, I'm like, how many movies and video games or cartoons have I seen when Batman has been alone? Enough.
Yeah, all of them.
But
about.
Then they also introduced later on a sidekick. It's Batman, Batgirl,
uh-huh.
Alfred helps him, Gordon helps him. He's always had someone with him.
We know this support plan that Tim comes up with here is actually talking about the... what's happening in Detective Comics now with Batwoman and an orphan and
Clayface
and Azrael? He's built a team to help Batman.
Yeah.
And he's watching, and Mr. Oz starts showing him what's going on. And he says, yes, your friends. And Tim looks at him and says, see, it's still working now. I'm not here, but
mm-hmm.
it's still working. And then Mr. Oz shows him Bruce working by himself. He says, well, your mentor has recently learned that you're actually alive. And that you were trapped.
Yep.
And now he's actually
devoting all his
everything
time
into finding you.
Right. And that's when Tim's like, oh no, he didn't want that for him.
Yeah. He should have just left me alone and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also says, and Mr. Oz asks him, well, what happens when Batman does fail and he's gone? It's your turn to take up the mantle. But the big thing here is Tim says, I will never be Batman. I've known that from the beginning.
Yeah.
I've never wanted that path. He never wanted to be Batman.
No.
That's why you notice when he got a chance to be on his own and not be Robin anymore, he still was Red Robin. That's his plan is to actually was to be Robin, and that's who he wants to be forever.
And that's why, as Red Robin, he still looks just like he did in his Robin costume, just added another R.
Well, now, Mr. Oz brings up that because you fear it so much that you created intricate systems to manage it from afar. Wait a minute, where was that one? Oh, he fears being Robin. So it's like, so you build all these systems so you can actually walk away and still take care of what's going on. And they're standing there. It's like, you never had to question any of my questions. Or no, then he says, this is all meaningless. And he says, you'll never allow yourself to leave the life behind if you refuse to see its power over you. Trust me. And then Tim says straight up, I'm done being interrogated.
Yep.
And Mr. Oz brings up the point, you never had to answer any of my questions. I've just been asking, and you could have just stood there silent. And Tim points out that, you know what? No, you misunderstand. I was allowing myself to be interrogated, but I'm done now. It's it uses less brain power to tell the truth, and I've been multitasking.
Right.
The whole time he's been standing here, he's been actually working on hacking Mr. Oz's computers. And he's
already
realized these are Kryptonian computers, because
right.
he's worked with Kryptonian tech before.
I love how Mr. Oz is like, multitasking!
Yeah. So he's hacked the system, shut down all the things, and attacks Mr. Oz. And in the battle back and forth, they finds out that Mr. Oz is Jor-El.
Yes. Which we figured out a couple weeks ago, but Tim's just now figuring out with the Kryptonian tech, and he's like, how could this be? He's even shocked, like, wait a minute,
exactly.
What?
Well, he sees it, and he finds out that Jor-El is actually as much of a prisoner in this place as he is. And at this point, Tim falls down and looks, and wait, because he's got the Superman crest on his, pinning his shirt clothes. He's like, wait a minute, that crest, you can't be. This is the point where he actually realizes this is Jor-El.
Yep, he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Then he says, this need in your heart to save them, that is what turned his eyes towards you. Now, at this point, there's a lot of Jor-El talking about him and his and he. So it's whoever's actually controlling Jor-El still. Because remember, in action, we're seeing that blue light and stuff. There's
right,
someone
exactly.
controlling what's going on
and
with Jor-El.
It may not be the blue. Should we just say who we think it is?
We think it's Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. With blue light, anybody on this type of level of power to hold somebody and keep them alive from traveling from Krypton to our world and able to teleport them. I really think that's got to be something to deal with what's going on. And
And Jor-El is talking about stuff like, the only thing I can be certain of is his eyes are everywhere. He says, Timothy, do as I've done. Take time that you have here to reflect on your life. So, so desperately, seek to return to, or the life that you so desperately seek to return to. It's clear you have no need for a cell anymore. The prison is not what you see around you. It's what's in your mind. And he disappears. And Tim's like, wait a minute. You got to help me out here. I'm still stuck wherever we are. So he does everything he can to send a signal out.
And his first one is, of course, to Batman.
He tries to get a signal. He uses all the power of his suit to send a signal out and trying to get to Gotham with it. And he gets a response from Batman. Finds out Batman is in the Batman is in this prison with him. So he shuts down the containment cells where Batman's at. And he runs to try to find Batman. And he finds him. He says, you really are Tim. Tim is talking about, yes, Bruce, I'm alive. It's awesome that we're together. How are you here? Then you hear some thumps.
Bruce says,
get
down.
Wait a minute, what's wrong? Bruce tells him, get down. You hear a crash, and you see Batman shooting a gun.
Yeah.
Which really throws off Tim.
He's like, wait a minute, you can't be Batman.
Uh-huh. And then Batman tells him straight up, I told you just to open the containment cells in this corridor, not the whole prison. Then you find out, and he talks about how the gun is actually the gun that killed Thomas and Martha Wayne. He's rebuilt it, and he's redeeming the tool of evil, is what he says here. And then you find out that this isn't Bruce Wayne. This is the future Tim
version
Drake.
Of Tim.
And remember, Tim had said he would never become Batman. And Tim even says, Batman, I'd never become. And then he's like, get behind me, it's not a request. We were not the only prisoners here. Now remember back at the beginning of Rebirth.
Yep.
That Mr. Oz took another prisoner too.
He took a couple of prisoners.
As we see Doomsday come smashing through the wall.
He's back. Next one is just titled Doomsday.
Yes. Now that brings us to we're running real late on time, so we got to get through.
We're close.
So Suicide Squad, that's you.
Okay.
Suicide Squad number 26. This is part 3 of the Gotham Resistance.
Now this was 18 hours ago after what happened before Harley Quinn, Killer Croc joined Nightwing, Green Arrow, and Robin, and before the whole Suicide Squad helped Gotham.
Yeah, before the Suicide Squad was actually helping the Teen Titans.
Yeah. And the main reason why most of the villains here are Batman villains and most of their home is Gotham. So they're like, oh, I don't care what we got to do. You don't have to do anything threatening us with blowing up a bomb in our head. We're going to go help Gotham anyway.
Yeah, remember the events of Dark Knight's Metal is there's a giant mountain now where Gotham used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's concentric rings around the mountain that are almost like an old school castle where you break through one wall, then you got to break through the city to the next wall. And there are concentric rings all the way around this mountain.
Also, do you remember, I keep forgetting the name of those things, the henchmen and bad guys in The Dark Knight Returns, the dudes, the goggles, the red goggles, and the spikes on their head?
I don't remember.
Well, anyways, they look like they spliced their DNA with bat serum because they look like all man bats following the Suicide Squad and the Teen Titans with Harley Quinn, Green Arrow, the ones we got from the last issue.
Yeah.
And they're on a school bus. It looked like a Mad Max world. Harley's in the bus driving it. Everyone's in there. And there's a cliff trying to lead over to another cliff. And they're like, she's not even going to try that. Of course she is. She's Harley.
Exactly.
So she jumps it. I love how the sign on the school bus says, how's my driving? Bad, obviously, Harley, because she didn't make it. They fall down to a pit of vines. And then turns out the person in there controlling all this weird jungle vine place is Poison
Ivy. With the vines.
Yep. Poison Ivy, because if you guys remember, the Batman Who Laughs came in and gave cards to a couple of prisoners in Arkham. One of those prisoners were Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
So he let her do whatever she wants in this part of Gotham. She wants to make her own little mini forest. A Garden of Eden, I would say, for her.
Well, yeah, each of these layers of the city, or each of these rings of the city, is being guarded by one of the Arkham prisoners.
Yep.
We had the first one, I don't think there was any actual prisoner in the first ring. The second ring they got through was the one that was being controlled by Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, first one. No, the first one, I think he was controlling. He was trying to, and that's when Man Last said he didn't think hard or not.
Yeah.
Or were too predictable.
It was Riddler.
Yeah, it was Riddler.
Was the first one.
And he failed because, of course, he's predictable. Mm-hmm. He's the Riddler.
The Riddler, then there was Mr. Freeze, and then this one is the third ring, and it's Poison Ivy.
And then the next one, there was four of them. The other one was Mad Hatter.
Okay.
So, of course, when Harley sees Poison Ivy, she's like, oh, hey, Red, how's it, you know, trying to be friends with her. It's like, that's not the same Red right now. She doesn't want any part of the human society right now. And plus, as Harley Quinn said, she's still mad because I didn't water her plants one time. but now we get Starfire. Now, Starfire and the rest of the team...
She looks crazed in this.
Yeah, well, Starfire and the rest of the members of the Suicide Squad that didn't join Nightwing, Green Arrow, and Robin, they...
Are they finally catching up to him?
Yeah, well, the Robin of the Dark, the Man Who Laughs...
Yes.
Poisoned them somehow and made them crazy like he is.
Okay.
So now you have the Teen Titans and the Suicide Squad fighting each other.
Yeah, it's the Titans and the Suicide Squad that was left behind now against our team of
Green Arrow,
Dick Grayson, Green Arrow,
Harley,
and Croc.
Harley. Now, also, here's the weird thing. The Batman Who Laughs promised each one of these prisoners from Arkham that they could have their own section of the city and do whatever they want with it as long as they're guarding it, right? Well, Poison Ivy wants to keep her little forest safe. She doesn't want them burning down or anything. Well, because of everything that the crazed Robin had these other heroes poisoned with, they're burning down her forest. So it's kind of like she wasn't promised exactly what she was told. They're coming in and still ruining what she built.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're going on, you see Dick... started having these visions of Batman, kind of like the same visions Batman was having trying to get the Barbados to come back, unknowingly. And now you get to see this crazy Robin. I mean, this dude looks insane. Looks a little taller, too. Attacking them, and they're all going at it. You got Killer Croc, Beast Boy going at it. You got Starfire and Harley going at it. I love how Deadshot, Green Arrow, and Captain Boomerang are having a standoff here. And as it goes on, you get to see the evil Robin and Nightwing go at it. And he's like, oh, come on, play. And the way he's talking to him, it's like, I always knew you as a friend, as a brother, and I always wanted to go at you like this. I know you're better than this, so come on, but I don't think you can beat me.
Yeah.
And turns out this Robin is actually Dick... I'm sorry, he's... Wow, my words right now. Damian Wayne from the Dark Multiverse.
Okay.
So that's why he knows him so well. And Dick keeps saying, I can feel him. I can feel him. He's feeling Batman. He feels his pain. He's feeling Bruce Wayne really dying. And this is when he they get away. They're able to escape. And now they're going to the territories of Mad Hatter. And Dick basically breaks down at this point. They had to retreat because they said there's no way they can beat that team. That Robin's so crazy, they would have died trying to defeat him. So he they start walking more, and they walk into Mad Hatter's world, and Dick falls down. His head's killing him. It's like he has a massive migraine. And then Green Arrow tells him, says, you've been more crazy than crazy. Something's wrong with you. You don't act like this. This is when he tells Dick, or tells Damian, the other world I was seeing was the visions like what Batman was having. I'm seeing him die. The metal is tearing him apart. I think Batman's dead. And then Damian tells him, no, that can't be. That can't be. He wouldn't die. He's like, I'm sorry, Damian, but Batman's dead. And from the picture we get, it literally looks like Batman's falling to this burning metal. And also we get to see Mad Hatter here at his tea party with White Rabbit. And then we get Tweedledum coming after them as Batman, or as Dick Grayson and Robin are having a heart-to-heart.
And Tweedledum.
Yeah, both of them. And also, the person that stops Tweedledee and Tweedledum from axing them to death is Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is actually the first time we've seen Mr. Terrific in the since Rebirth, isn't it?
Second time. He was in the first issue of Dark Knight Metal.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking that's how the, this is a Dark Knight Metal tie-in.
He was actually part of
Batman's
of protecting Plastic Man and putting Plastic Man in stasis.
And that's why I think we're going to get that whole Mr. that Terrific team is going to be him and Plastic Man for other
characters.
You know
what? I would not be surprised if we saw, well, no, it won't be in this, but in Metal, we'll see Plastic Man get released.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and that's where we're going to get the team of the Terrifics.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Dark Knight Metal, and their next issue we're going to see
Suicide Squad,
Dark Knight Metal tie-in.
It was the Gotham Resistance Part 3.
And next one we're going to get to, what's the next one going to be?
Green Arrow.
Okay, Green Arrow's going to take on with
Mad Hatter.
It'll
be the fourth part, yes.
And now we're on our last one.
The last book?
Real quick before we dive into that last one, since we're getting into Metal. Basically, I'm just going to let you guys know what happened in Justice League and what happened at the end. They do find Ray Palmer, so now there's two different Atoms here. Lobo, Killer Frost, Ray Palmer. I'm trying to remember the turn one right now. His name's
Ryan Choi.
Ryan Choi. And is it Batman in here, too? Yeah, and Batman.
Yeah. Now they're in the microverse.
Yes,
and,
which is another universe.
Most of this is the recap of Ray about what
happened
since he's been here.
Right, that's what started this whole Just League of America to happen. Also, in Rebirth issue number one.
Yeah,
and because of that,
microverse is collapsing. Ray is trying to fix it.
And I think a little bit of that happening is, well, he's an atom, and who else breaks down atoms and rebuilds atoms to create new worlds, new people?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Manhattan.
It looks like Dr. Manhattan may have something to do with this also.
And this is tying right back into what happened in Rebirth, and Adam was a big part of that, so was Dr. Manhattan. And at the end, you see a blue light shining on him, and we're pretty sure this is the same exact light we got from Rebirth.
Yeah, there's a lot of blue lights flying around in the universe right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Doomsday Clock starts in November.
I love how Jeff Johns said you don't have to read anything else except for that. I'm like, but you guys probably should read.
You don't have to, but it is going to have effects on the rest of the universe.
Exactly. All right, now we're at our last one, and this is the Murder Machine.
Yes, this is the second Batman, Dark Batman book. This is Dark Knight's Batman the Murder Machine, and we start off on Earth Zero, which is our home world of Earth, in Star Labs Detroit, and you have Victor talking to his dad. Victor's on the Cyborg is on the watchtower. His dad's at Star Labs talking back and forth. They're evacuating the city, but his dad doesn't want to leave Star Labs,
and he's telling Dad, you need to leave. Some bad's happening. He's like, well, son, to be honest, you're my son. I'm still worried about you. I want to know you're in a protect.
You know, the best place I can protect you is by staying here and helping.
Right. And he says, well, Dad, don't worry about me. I'm most protected. I love how he says this. Then it's not.
Yeah, I'm in the most protected place, most secure place in anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm in space.
Right. He's in the Watchtower. Only one in the Watchtower. He can't really get a hold on a couple of different leaguers like Batman. They haven't been able to find Batman for a while now.
Well, yeah. Remember, he's hiding because the
He's not hiding.
Remember, the Blackhawks are looking for him right now because he stole the weapon. Remember?
Is that what's happening right now?
In Metal number 2, remember he stole the baby Darkseid.
But I thought, No. That's not what's happening right now. Right now, Batman's in the Metal Place.
You sure?
Yeah, because remember, none of these evil Batman came out.
This is in Metal number 1.
Right, that's what he's referring to. That's what they're referring to it for that one. It's not what's happening right now.
Okay.
What's happening right now because none of the other evil Batman were able to come out till Batman did get sunk down there.
Okay.
And he's telling them Batman's been gone. They can't get a hold of Barry Allen for obvious reasons.
But then an alarm goes off in the watchtower.
Yes. And
someone's teleporting in.
And it looks like Batman. He's like, oh, yeah, man.
The computer recognizes
you're
him as Batman.
Cypher Syrah's Bruce. We've been looking. And then he gets shot.
He gets zapped.
And it's the murder machine Batman. Basically a copy, a combination
a cyborg
and Batman.
Yeah, a dark cyborg version of Batman. It says, don't worry, I'm here to help.
Yeah, and oh man, that smile
looks creepy.
Then
we go through
creepy.
The origin story of the dark Batman. And from Earth 44 in the dark multiverse, mm-hmm. months ago, the villains had actually started to win, and they had they had found the cave and killed and brutalized Alfred.
Yeah, you got basically his rose gallery. People like Bane, Harley Quinn, Two-Face, Clayface,
Killer Croc.
Yeah, the iconic
picture of Bane breaking Batman's back. Instead, they make it with Alfred.
Yeah, and also there's Man-Bat, too. So I guess trying to say all of his rogues finally found out where he lived and broke him. And right now what's happening is the funeral of Alfred, and you have all the Leaguers there in their normal attire. I love how Victor can look human. You see that, right?
Hmm?
You see how he can look human if he needs to with technology. I'm like, you don't always have to look
holograms.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. I've been saying that for years.
But in this, it's like you find out through this book that just like in the Red Death, Batman had been broken thinking that he could save the entire world if he's fast enough.
Right.
And this one...
His family.
When they broke and killed Alfred, they broke Batman.
Yes. And this is where the other Leaguers are telling him. He's watching all this on surveillance right now. His death. And he's like, Bruce, this isn't healthy. We're going to have to bury Alfred right now. He's not even coming upstairs to do so. We're going to go upstairs and mingle like normal people. So they go upstairs, but Victor stays behind. Batman asks him, Bruce says, Vic, do you still have that Alfred protocol we were working on? And he's like, yeah, just the intelligence of Alfred. Basically, where Alfred can still be there with
him
as a butler.
They want to...
AI.
Bruce is turning Alfred into an AI.
Yeah. And he says, please, I just want my father back. And you all people know how important fathers are.
Mm-hmm.
And now we go back to our current universe and current time. They're still going at it. He says, Victor, you've always been good to me. And then Victor's dad's talking to him over his comlink. The murder machine turns it off and tells him, your dad doesn't need to hear this right now. This is me and you talking. He tells him, even when I was in my darkest state, Victor, you still helped me. I can't applaud you for that, even as he's trying to kill him. And the cyborg goes back at him and says, I don't know why you're trying to pretend to be Batman, because Batman would never do anything like this.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you are, who you pretend to be, I got to take you down. And then this is when he goes back and tells him, you always understood me, Victor. Even in my darkest mood, you were the last one to stand by my side. You were the last one to give me spirit to help me go on and give me what I needed. And then this is where the hologram of Alfred comes up, and you were able to give me my father back to help me. And he says, may I help you? And then Victor's like, Alfred, is that you? Then Alfred attacks Victor. Now we go back to Earth 44 again months ago. There's these holograms of Alfred, and it's like this AI is programmed to serve and protect Batman.
Yeah.
Now, when Cyborg originally made him, he meant serve and protect as in, oh, do you need something to eat? Do you need me to get your shoes?
Yeah.
Do you need some coffee? Stuff like that. Normal General Butler stuff.
Well, Batman allowed it to grow on its own, and it's gotten to the point where it's like...
It's protecting him,
all
right.
It started killing all... And within, they said, within a day or so...
It killed all of his enemies.
All
the
Batman's
rogues.
Enemies, all the rogues.
Yeah, and this is when Cyborg comes down and says, Bruce, what the hell is going on here? When we programmed this AI, he was supposed to be someone for, as I said, to get you things, to help you with dinner, to make sure you're up in time. This is way over the top. You need to stop this. And I guess at this point, the AI is beginning to say, Cyborg is looking more like a threat than a friend. So as he goes upstairs, he says, I'm ending it right now. And then Alfred's trying to get into the house, because I guess he cannot get in somehow to Wayne Manor. I don't know why, he just can't barge in.
Well, Batman has fail-safes up.
Ah, okay, thank you. I was wondering why isn't he just coming on in. And now we're back in our current time. He's telling him about what happened with him and his father. And every time he refers to father, I'm wondering, does Cyborg actually know what he's talking about? Like our Cyborg?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm like, is he talking in riddles? Well, once he gets close enough, Cyborg blasts his head off. But because this is all these holograms and this weird AI, no matter how much Cyborg's hitting these things, Alfred or the murder machine, they're coming right back like it's not even hurting them. So eventually he goes back to what's happening. Wait, where is this? No, this is still happening on Earth as of right now. No, this is happening before. He's letting them know, I took over our world. I made sure everything was safe. And basically all the Alfreds destroyed the people because he knows people cannot... be trusted. And he's seeing this, the AI and the cyborg Superman or cyborg Batman are seeing people as being bad. So Cyborg was the last one to, fight against him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. This is happening right now on our Earth.
Yes.
He's doing this, and Cyborg's like, no, you can't destroy our Earth right now. But he already has the Alfred on Earth Zero destroying Detroit and tearing down the city, burning it up. And this is when Cyborg says, no, my dad's there. I don't want my dad to die.
Yeah.
And now we go back to what happened on Earth 44, and this is where he tells him, even then, when everybody was getting killed by, or I was destroying everyone and taking over the world, and all the Justice League fell, you were the last one to survive. And he, this is when he's tried to write, make one last effort to let Bruce Wayne know, Bruce, listen to me. You're still there. I can still hear you. If you didn't have you inside there, the AI would have took me out when I walked into that manor. But I'm still here. So he starts taking him out. He's like, that protocol needs to end. We still have time. Just end it now, and we will be okay. Batman says, Victor. And this is also when Cyborg says, you become some type of murder machine. Ha ha. He says, Victor, I am who I want to be. I'm not changing anything. This is what I want. My father will want this. He always wanted to be there for me, so now he can be with me forever. And he's like, no, Bruce. He rips off Cyborg's head and does it in Mortal Kombat form where he got his spine and Cyborg's mouth just bloody. This was graphic.
And actually, it's not extremely bloody because you got to remember, there's not a whole lot of blood inside of Cyborg.
But the blood he does have is regurgitating out of his mouth. and then this is where you see the Batman who laughed right behind the murmur scene, giving him the same encouragement of doing bad things like we did with the Red Death. Now we're in our current time, and he's letting him know everything that happened. He's like, I can't believe all this happened. I got to get you out of here. We got to figure out what's going on. And in one punch, Cyborg says, booyah!
He breaks through the shield the murder machine put up.
But he's like, wait, what happened here? Something from behind him grabs him. It's actually the whole team of...
the Dark Universe Batman.
Yeah, and it's the Doomsday version that grabs Cyborg, starts beating him up. Then all of them gang up on Cyborg, beating him into a mechanical bloody pulp, ripping off his arms, dismantling him, chest wide open, and Cyborg like he's about dead. And this is where the Batman who laughs comes in and says, he had really no idea, did he? Just to think how much trouble that metal could have caused us if we had let them wield it. Good thing he got some friends to show him the way. And he says, oh,
yeah, it's interesting because they're talking about how Cyborg actually has the metal in him.
Yeah.
And if he had actually figured out what he had in him and how to use it,
now,
then he could have stopped these guys a long time
ago. Now, this is my theory. What's going on with Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns with the metal? That's playing to the New Gods.
Uh-huh.
And where does Cyborg get his tech from? He got it from everything
from
the New
Gods.
Right.
So I'm thinking I think it's actually in the... in the mother box is what they're actually
exactly
finding.
Exactly. And then
this may be actually what causes mother boxes to work.
This might that we're getting deep, guys. This is a good storytelling right here. And now we see the world is being taken over slowly because we had the Red Death in his city, the Flash. Detroit now is being in chaos, and we see the next issue. Oh, by the way,
we do see that the Watchtower now has been redesigned and remorphed to look like something from the Dark Multiverse.
Mm-hmm. And the next issue that we'll begin is Batman: The Dawnbreaker,
which I'm kind of looking forward to. That's the Green Lantern version of this.
My favorite one so far, I think you know, was the Flash.
The Red Death was cool.
I really like what they did with that one. But we still have a couple more issues to go, and I'm very excited for Dawnbreaker.
And that brings one more thing to do.
Mm-hmm. We got somewhere to go.
And that sound can only mean one thing. It's time for our weekly trip to the comic shop for our pull list. This week, it's the pull list for October 11th, 2017. And we have 13 books on the list.
Mm-hmm. And
now, remember, this week, as every week,
yes,
the comic shop pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. That was their song, The Comic Shop.
And go check them out.
Check them out on iTunes, on Facebook, and also at Shazbots.com. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you.
And actually, after we just got done with the whole Dark Metal thing, the first one we're going to give you synopsis of is Dark Knight Metal, issue number 3.
Which doesn't have much in the way of a description.
No, none of them do. They're keeping it very hush-hush. Superman is pulled into the mystery of the Dark Multiverse, while the Justice League follows a trail to the weapon that could keep the forces of the multiverse at bay. Artist is Jonathan Glipson, Greg Capullo, and writer is Scott Snyder. Scott's been doing it. Yeah. At first, when I first heard about this, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. My goodness, this is...
This is definitely a Scott Snyder story.
Oh, this is getting good, dude. So good.
Well, the next one we get is The Flash, number 32. Now, at the end of the issue 31 of Flash, Barry Allen has been reassigned to a crime unit in
Iron Heights.
Iron Heights. It's a crime prevention unit instead of a crime scene unit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Welcome to Iron Heights. It's Barry Allen's first day on the job at Iron Heights Penitentiary, and it does not go very well, as Warden Wolf proves to be an even more demanding boss than Director Singh at the GCPD crime lab. And to top it all off, a ghost from Flash's past comes back to haunt him. Artist is Howard Porter, and is written by Joshua Williamson.
And then the next one is Action Comics issue number 989. We're getting so close. The Oz Effect Part 3. The startling revelations of Mr. Oz's origin has stopped the Man of Steel dead in his tracks. With Superman distracted by the disasters looming around the world, Mr. Oz has the time to comfort Lois Lane. Confront Lois Lane. This is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. You think you might want to have her and Jonathan Leaf too? Because that is his family.
I don't think so. The way he was talking before, he wanted basically him and Kal-El to leave and that's it.
Yeah. But this is also his family.
Yeah.
This is the last bit of his family left. Well, the artist is Victor Bogdanovich, and writer is Dan Jurgens.
Well, next up we get Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 15, Manslaughter Part 1. It's flu season in Gotham City, but something odd is happening. Only the men are getting sick, including those closest to the Birds of Prey. With Commissioner Gordon on his deathbed and Batman fighting a foe even he can't beat, only the Birds of Prey have the strength to stand up against what's happening and keep the city from spiraling into chaos. The artist is Roj Antonio, and it's written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
Nice, nice.
You got both of the good books this week.
I'm looking at that, and it keeps happening. The next one is Detective Comics issue 966, A Lonely Place of Living, Part 2.
And remember, this is the one where they said possibly that we're going to start seeing hints of Connor.
Yes, yes. And hey, Doomsday, a Superman villain.
Yeah?
Interesting. Tim Drake has been locked in Mr. Oz's fortress, but now he's free and roaming the prison while his capture faces off against the Man of Steel. But is he the only prisoner who's been freed? Oh, the only prisoner.
Wait a minute. Doomsday, we know, has been freed, but was there anybody else
there? That's why I just got the... Oh, okay.
Mr. Oz, or someone, pulled Tim out at the point of death.
Right.
So was there anybody else that may have, at the point of death, been removed from the universe?
I like where this is going. Artist is Eber Ferreira, Eddie Bowers.
Barrows,
I'm sorry. I saw it, guys. Forgive me. Writer, James T. Tinian IV. All I could think about was Eddie Bowers from It. That's just stuck in my head right now.
Ah, okay. Well, next up we get Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps number 30. Mind Games, Part 1.
Oh, this looks
great. After reports of Sinestro's return begin to spread, Hal Jordan travels to Earth looking to bring in his one-time Green Lantern partner. But a manhunt turns into a fight for his life as Hal must face the unmatchable power of the Man of Steel. The artist is Patrick Zercher, and it's written by Robert Venditti. Now, this is actually looks time-wise to drop in right about the same a couple of issues ago when Superman actually had the Red Lantern ring. Because the cover has Hal fighting against the Yellow Lantern.
You heard that, didn't you? That was Superman theme song from my mom's phone.
Oh, okay.
So it just seemed to fit.
It is Hal fighting against the Yellow Lantern version of Superman on the cover.
Yeah, and it looks really good. It reminds me exactly what just happened in Superman with Sinestro. Mm-hmm. Next one we have Justice League of America Part 6, or issue number 16. This is also going back into what's going on with Doomsday Clock. Panic in the Microverse Part 5. Ray Palmer, the original Adam, has crossed galaxies in search...
He's not the original Adam.
You know, he's really not, but...
Because there was an Adam in the Golden Age. I forget his name off the top of my head.
I forget, too.
I just read part
with the
story
cape and the yellow top and the brown trunks. I remember
that. It was the hood and the cape are all one piece.
Yeah, yeah. They have a toy of him, too, actually, if we can find him. I'm curious on the price. You're going to look it up, aren't you?
No, I actually have a comic of him in it. I have one of the in Comixology I'd picked up.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead with the description.
Anyways, it has crossed galaxies in search of an ignition point, the source of the microverse, Pain. But can Ray Palmer trust his team with the ignition point's true nature while he's so far from everything he knows and smaller than any human has ever been? Palmer's only hope is a message in an atomic bottle, first glimpse in DC's universe, Rebirth number one. I'm going to have to pull that back out and see exactly what they're talking about now. I got to look through that.
Okay.
The artist is Felipe Wannabe and writer Steve Orlando. Now, what'd you have there?
No, the story, the name is Alan Pratt.
Alan Pratt.
The original.
Okay.
Now, this was, in Comixology had the big All-American comic book. Which number was
that? Did I download that, too?
I don't know. It was like a 99-cent comic.
Yeah.
A month or so ago. So, yeah, it's awesome because it's only like three or four page stories of all kinds of different characters.
Maybe you just let me. I don't think I bought it. I think when we were at work on break, you let me look through it on your phone. That was what it was.
So, as I digressed, the next one we have up is The New Superman, number 16, Equilibrium, part 2. Kenan's battle with the Suicide Squad ended in disaster. And when the new Superman of China comes to, he wakes up in Gotham City. All Yang's plan to corrupt our hero and show him the true nature of China's destiny stands revealed. The artist is Richard Friend and Brent Peebles, and it's still written by Jean Luen Yang.
Good writer so far on there. Like I said, that was my buddy's Jack first book in the Rebirth, and he bought all those at the Akron Comic Con.
Cool.
Next one is Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 15, Bizarro Reborn, part 2. As Batwoman and her team closes in on the infamous Outlaws, Red Hood and Artemis must figure out what to do about Bizarro. Whose new war on crime has taken a dark turn? Is this the end of the Outlaws as we know them? Art is done by Dexter Soy and written by Scott Lemdell. So Bizarro being Mr. Smarty Pants here. And now we're getting to see...
The Gray Bizarro, maybe?
The Gray Bizarro. I really want to say that. but we're getting to see two of Batman's family members go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are the artist family.
Yeah.
So, there we go. I'm going to be very excited about that issue.
Son with his cousin?
Mm-hmm. I wonder when we're going to get to see more of Red Hood actually in Detective Comics. I've really been waiting for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be in there all the time. I'm like, we need to see more.
Well, you
got to
remember, he's still running as with the Outlaws here. They're running as a villain team.
But Batman's with the Justice League. Batman's with the Justice League of America.
That's the thing.
He's in Detective Comics. You can have a little crossover there. They're all in Gotham.
Well, the next one we got up, we got four books left. The next one is Suicide Squad number 27. The Secret History of Task Force X, Part 1. The next major storyline of Suicide Squad begins when Amanda Waller receives a mysterious communique confirming her worst fears. Someone knows all her secrets. Task Force X, Maxwell Lord, General Zod, everything. And the message came from outer space? Determined to identify and neutralize this unprecedented threat, Harley Quinn and the Suicide Squad boldly go where no sociopath has gone before. Artist is... Edward Petrovich, and it's written by Rob Williams.
Next one we have is Supergirl issue number 14. This is a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl meets new Superman. To help her get her amplified powers under control, Supergirl will need to travel to China and train under I Chang and Kenan and Kong Kenan for help. But when the international threat hits the city before her training is complete, is Supergirl ready to save the world? Artist is Jose Luis, and writer is Steve Orlando.
Okay. Next up, we get Superwoman, number 15. Supermax, part 2.
Is this the one with Supergirl? Yep.
Hmm?
I don't know if Supergirl was still in this one.
Yeah, well, remember, you see who that is in the middle. We have Maxima.
Okay, and that's when you're saying she's back.
Well, it's Supermax, part 2. It's a clash of incredible power... as Superwoman and Supergirl struggle to contain the might of Maxima. But with Maxima's origin revealed and a startling new villain looming on the horizon, do our heroes actually need to save Maxima or be saved by her? Mm. Artist is Art Thibbert and Steven Segovia, and it's written by Kay Perkins.
Last one, actually, is Wonder Woman issue number 32, Children of the Gods, part 2. Wonder Woman must find out who is targeting Zeus's children before their sights are set on her.
What kind of monsters are in her power to murder a demigod?
Hmm.
Aris is done by... Aris is Jason Pez, Carlo Pangilina, and written by James Robinson. Hmm. Because the last one, that was pretty good. Now, this one's diving more into the Wonder Woman comic books of the Zeus's children. So, this is going to be pretty good. And that's the one to end our list.
Yeah, that's the end of the list. And that brings us to the end of our show. So, Super Friends, thank you for hanging out with us this week, like every week. And we had some great stuff happen this week.
Oh, yeah, and we just discovered another great thing I looked at here.
Yeah, you saw a cover of an upcoming Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Or no, this is...
That's an upcoming Wonder Woman.
Yeah, oh, that's coming up in December, so that's way ahead.
I'm wondering what's all going to be happening in December. If she's the only... I doubt she's going to be the only Justice League member dealing with that.
Yeah. So, wait, who is that that's...
That's Darkseid. Yeah.
So Darkseid is coming in full bore. Well, you got to remember, in Dark Knight's Metal right now, Batman is playing with the baby of Darkseid. You don't play with Darkseid.
You don't play with Darkseid. Also, Hal Jordan's dealing with Orion and the New Gods.
Yeah, the New Gods, like we've said in the last couple of weeks, or in the last month or two, the New Gods are coming. They're back on the table.
Like I said, I love how Jeff Johns said, you don't have to read anything but The Watchmen, then read this Doomsday Clock. If you want to get into everything that's going on in DC, you really do need to read everything that's going on in the comic books right now.
So, But,
other thing too. I wonder if we're gonna get some type of crossover with Dr. Fate, Blue Beetle, and Flash. What's happening with the Dark Knight Metal? Because remember,
well, we know Dr. Fate is already in Dark Knight Metal,
right?
Because in the Red Death, Flash was yanked out of Central City by Dr. Fate.
Dr. Fate, yeah.
He was saved from the Red Death.
The last thing I seen with Dr. Fate, and it was in Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
So,
I wasn't reading Blue Beetle at that time, so I don't know.
I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it still Kent Nelson?
I don't know.
I think it was someone new.
I really don't know. Before it was someone new, before we did Rebirth. I'm pretty sure this is Ken Nelson doing something this powerful in this type of book.
Well, we'll find out. So, but actually, Super Friends, let us know if... let us know, because we need to know who this Dr. Fate is anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can help us out. And remember, we're approaching issue number 100. What should we do for issue 100?
Yeah, guys.
Let us know.
Should we go out to a park? What should we do?
Exactly. Why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us?
Guys, you're trying to locate us. We've been tweeting out a lot. Thank everybody for new followers and the retweets we got and the likes on Instagram. If you want to find us on Instagram, we are DC Superpowers Podcast. Same on Facebook, but we are at Superpowers DC on Twitter. And for me, you can find me on my Instagram, HowlNatWolf, VLO on Twitter, and on Facebook, I am Brendan McWayne Moore.
And for me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can also email the show at DCSuperPowersPodcast@gmail.com. We are also members of the Tangent Bound and Weebie Geeks Networks at TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. And I think that wraps us up for this week.
Yeah.
So, Vernon, thank you for hanging out with me, bro.
Anytime. Every time we have something on Comic-Con, you know it's always fun to talk.
Oh, yeah. And Super Friends, thank you for hanging out, and we'll see you next week.